It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, here we go, off and running on this 16th day of August, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And, well, Moran Monday kind of wrote itself over the weekend now, didn't it? Yeah, you can just imagine, can't you? Hi, I'm Robin, and if you pop on by the chat room at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and pick yourself out a screen name or and a password, or use one that you've had in the past if you've been there before, and, yeah, well, you pop right in there, you'll be... You'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Jeremy in Vermont and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Timo. Yep, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while he is a third stage guild navigator, has once again decided not to fold space into an inferno. Yeah, the air quality rating for Sparky's neck of the woods today is unhealthy. Children, older adults, and those with respiratory issues should reduce prolonged or heavy outdoor exertion. The AQI is 153, and the dominant pollutant is at PM 2.5. Yeah. Yuck. That's some nasty stuff. And PM 2.5, well, that's about 1,000 times bigger than the ultrafine particulates that you breathe when you live near a mountaintop removal site. So, yeah. Down in mountaintop in the sacrifice zone, nobody ever really says much about the air quality index down there because, you know, it would just read for shit, right? Yeah. Anyway, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we begin the program with thanks to our 16th, 15th, and 14th day of the month subscribers. And that means thanks go out in reverse order, starting with the 16th. Thanks go out to Mark. Thank you, Mark, and thank you to Tim. Thank you to Reinhard on the Virginia coast. Thank you ever so much to Nagla and to Robert. Thank you. And thanks as well to Ralphs and to Matt in San Francisco. Thank you, and again, thank you to Sharon jumping in toward the end of the program on Friday the 13th. So where do we stand? Well, let's see. Thanks to the massive miracle we had on Friday, we're actually funded for the 24th day. We got funding for one of those missing days, and we've just got a regular $300 fundraising goal this evening, which is augmented by Frank's challenge and matching offer of $100. So if someone will, or a collection of someone's will match Frank's, that will get us to only $100 to go to finish funding for this day. So thank you, Frank, and hopefully folks will jump in there alongside you. It is much, much appreciated, and I can't say enough about how much help we got on Friday. Mercy sakes, there was some bill paying went on. Bills yet remain, but significant number of them did get paid, and I'm trying to make sure that I can get out of here without having to worry while I'm gone a week from tomorrow. And program note, I will be gone beginning a week from tomorrow. I'm leaving on the 24th, and I will be back on, either the 2nd or the 3rd of September, and what that means is that, the 3rd is a Friday, and if I'm back on the 3rd, I will be back in time for Friday on the front porch. So, heck, who knows? I might be back in time for a program on the 2nd, but it just all depends on how things play out, how long certain appointments take, and things like that. But I'm looking forward to a Jim Dandy broadcast week. Another program note, of course, there is thunder rumbling in the background, which means that if this program abruptly disappears, it will be because, once again, either my internet service provider or the rickety, crotchety, antiquated, rattlesome, broke down, wore out, ancient technology, Appalachian Power coal-fried grid will have gone run under the bed, and it's both of them. That's entirely a possibility. Okay, so if the podcast turns out to be less than 3 hours long, or if the program disappears while you're listening to it live, that's why. Because, well, here in Central Appalachia, you know, we're still coal-fried, and we still have a centralized grid that cannot be counted on to work in anything resembling bad weather. And we're in that, I guess we're just in that time of year, of course. Tropical depression, probably Tropical Storm Fred, is getting ready to hit the Alabama Gulf Coast and the North Florida coast, you know, the Redneck Riviera. And, for the sake of friends down there, I hope it is nothing more than a tropical depression. And I saw a picture earlier today that showed the first outer bands moving in over Mobile Bay. Yeah. And then what? Grace is behind that one. Yeah. I think we need to utilize our cosmic trans powers to push that one away. We were able to use our cosmic trans powers to keep this one from ramping up to a full-on badass hurricane, but still, that took a lot of effort, you know? It really, really did. So, getting this, looking at it, is this the beginning of the 3rd full week of August? Yes, this is the beginning of the 3rd full week of August broadcasting. And everything we can do to bring in more than 300 this evening means that we got a better fighting chance of paying bills. Let's start this, as we often do, with Joey's Journal. What a day in history. On this day in 1777, the American forces won the Battle of Bennington in Vermont in what was considered a turning point in the Revolutionary War. On this day in 1812, Detroit fell to the British and Native American forces in the War of 1812. On this day in 1977, Elvis Presley died at his Graceland estate in Memphis at the age of 42. Earlier that year, 1977, Elvis had played to his largest audience ever in the Pontiac Silverdome, just outside of Detroit, as nearly 60,000 people showed up to see one of the King's last concerts. I remember that day very, very well. We were headed home from St. Louis. We'd been on vacation. I was 14 years old, and the news coverage was nothing but dead Elvis all the way back home. Ooh, that was a good one. All the way back home from St. Louis to Alabama. Jeffrey has some fight in him today. Hell, why didn't these people show up to help Hull in 1812? Only 2,500 showed up to help General Hull in the War of 1812, and the Americans went down to a humiliating defeat. I mean, what in the wide, wide world war is going on? You have an Elvis concert in Detroit, and 60,000 people show up. You have a war, and everybody's too busy getting bombed at the damn concert.
Rumors have it that even Billable Rick attended that last concert in Pontiac.
Well, that might explain some things, mightn't it, Junior? Yeah, pay attention, son. And meanwhile, Jeffrey's got some straight talk. As it turns out, the word Detroit, is a French word that means straight. And the French called the river next to Detroit Le Détroit de Lac Erie, a French explorer and nobleman by the name of Antoine de la Motte, Sieur de Cadillac, founded Detroit in July of 1701. The good people of Detroit attempted to give the founder of Detroit, a key to the city, but as you can imagine, de Cadillac just wanted the key to his Escalade. Oh, that giraffe. Now, speaking of straight, on this day in 1977, a judge in New York ruled that Dr. Rene Richards did not have to play it straight anymore. The judge ruled that Rene Richards, a transgender woman, had the right to compete in the U.S. Open without having to pass a sex chromosome test. Whoa. Y'all are hearing that one, right? That one rumbled for a little bit. Wow. I think that one caught the noise gate by surprise. And Jeffrey has to make some racket about that. As it turns out, Richards lost in the opening round. Oh, you won't believe this, but Richards actually lost in the opening round in straight sets, 6-1, 6-4. Right. Hang on a second. I gotta see this. Sorry for the delay, but wow. Just wanted to make sure there wasn't a mean woman on a bicycle outside or anything. Oh, dear. I screwed up. You may have quit smoking cigarettes, Robin, but I suspect you may be smoking something else. You said go to the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. Not to worry. It's only been 4 years and 4 months. Has it been that long? Time flies when you're having fun. Of course, I meant headon.live. We appreciate the correction and regret the error. Joey says, I remember exactly where I was on this day in 77 when I heard Elvis died. It was a rainy, gloomy day, just like today, and 10 years later in 1987, I remember where I was when I heard the news that Northwest Airlines Flight 255 crashed while attempting to take off from Detroit's Metro Airport. 156 people were killed, but one little 4-year-old girl survived. Cecilia Kishan was the sole survivor of that monumental disaster and was raised by relatives in Pennsylvania after losing her brother and both parents in the crash. And speaking of soul, on this day in 2018, the Queen of Soul, Detroit native Aretha Franklin, died of pancreatic cancer. I love who Aretha was and for what she stood. Finally, on this day in 1948, Babe Ruth also died of cancer, throat cancer. Ruth hit his 700th career home run in Detroit against the Tigers, and also earlier in his career hit his longest home run of an estimated 560 feet into a Detroit street. And Jeffrey will wrap things up. Junior and I love watching video of the Babe because he hit some of the longest home runs. I'd like to congratulate Robin for 11 months without a smoke. I can just hear smoking Joe Frazier right now. Or maybe Howard Cosell. Down go the cigarettes, down go the cigarettes, because Robin Kincaid kicked those cigs right in the butt. Right in the butt, okay. Mm-hmm. This has been Joey's Journal for a thunderous Monday, the 16th day of August, 2021, with Giraffrey wishing Detroit native Madonna a happy 63rd birthday. Wow. Mm-hmm. And there's a $10 Down Go the Cigarettes challenge, so there's $110 worth of challenges on the table now. And if those all get met, then we'll only be $80 away from fully funded for Monday, and that'll be freaking awesome. And that's kind of why I looked out the window, Steve. Steve in New York says, damn, that storm has a tornado-ish sound to it. Sorry to say that, but as a person located very close to a place where a Cat 5 tornado struck in Xenia, Ohio, near where I lived in Dayton, I have the right. Yeah. Well, for a minute there, it kind of sounded like a freight train, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And that's what tornadoes, sound like, that roar, that just persistent roar. Where's this coming from? Because the whole, the rest of the month of August looks like this. It's all little thunderstorm symbols. With that voice, Darlene in Connecticut wants to know, are you sure Junior is a son and not a daughter or a they? Well, his voice hasn't changed yet. Could someone lift up Junior's skirt and find out? Oh! Well, you know, if Junior wants to wear a skirt, that's okay. Little giraffes can wear skirts. Although Joey and Jeffrey might not like that. They strike me as being a bit protective. That they are. And they are good. They are good parents to little Junior. Yes. Lift ups. Can somebody bring in the bass line? Let's see here. This is it, thunderstorms like this always remind me of the opening to the Doors. You know, Riders on the Storm. That little keyboard riff. I mean, we got plenty to talk about this evening, and this will not detract. But I just kind of, this is just perfect for. Yeah, there it is. Now, see, that's on the record. Record. She said record. Yeah. I love how the electric piano just kind of mimics the idea of raindrops falling. Sing it.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. This world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone, riders on the storm.
Yeah, that's just nice. Yeah, I faded down out from, because we've been using that line for a long time on this program. There's a killer on the road. His brain is burning like a toad. Yeah. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. And, you know, there we were, 4 years. I mean, that should be, you know, never mind you can't get what you can't always get what you want by the Stones. That should have been the theme song of the 4 years of the maggot maladministration. Mm-hmm. And careful, Robin, says Jeremy in Vermont. The last people who tried to explain thunder and rain got really drunk and wrote the most popular horror story of all time, the Bible. Yeah, most popular porn, too. And see, that the recording's not playing anymore, and that's, I trust you guys are hearing that. That's amazing. No, I have not lit my spleef yet. Jeffrey wants free cannabis for everyone. Thank you for that, Billable. Right. Cowbell nominations for Joey from Billable. The good people of Detroit attempted to give the founder of Detroit a key to the city, but he just wanted the key to his Escalade. But Renee Richards lost in an opening round in straight sets. Well, you know, let's just remember, gender and sexuality are not the same thing by any stretch of the imagination. Just, okay? Well, blasphemy, Steve in New York says, Joey and Jeffrey are clearly not gay, because if they were, they would have known it was anathema to get to the birthplace of Her Holiness Madonna Ciccone wrong. She was born in Bay City, Michigan. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah. And just a little, and I got this from Ron in Raleigh, and I thought I mentioned that in the P.S. Okay. Why history is important. Ron writes, I feel like I'm in a time warp. It's April 1975 in Saigon, people trying desperately to get out, the U.S. leaving people who worked for us to hang fire. The Kabul airport was a similar scene. This is yet another failure of U.S. foreign policy after 20 years of supporting a country and military that didn't have the guts to fight for themselves. Just months after President Biden said the scenario taking place in Afghanistan wouldn't happen. So let's talk about how this shit show started. We often hear about how the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. What no one says is that the Soviets were asked to come in because at the time Afghanistan had a communist government. The reason the Afghans asked for the Soviets to help is because Zbigniew Brzezinski, that's right, daddy to Morning Mika, Zbigniew Brzezinski started providing weapons to Islamic insurgents fighting government forces. His reasoning being to force the Soviets into their own Vietnam-style quagmire. This was the initial effort of PNAC and their desire to own the world. You remember PNAC, the project for a new American century. The movie Charlie Wilson's War is a BS representation of this occurrence. Once again, the U.S. and its ham-fisted efforts to control the world have led to a disaster. Iraq doesn't have a Jeffersonian democracy, nor does Afghanistan. This will happen again because, as anyone can see, the U.S. doesn't learn anything from its mistakes. The clock is ticking on when we will try to impose our will on the newly elected socialist government in Peru, because we can't abide a socialist government in our hemisphere. All over the world, people that want to be left alone to live their lives as they see fit are being forced to kowtow to authoritarian strongmen, which the U.S. will support. In a short period, we'll be aiding the Taliban. Signed, Ron in Raleigh. And P.S., nobody's mentioned it, so I'll say R.I.P. to Dusty Hill, bass player for ZZ Top at the age of 72. Haw. Yep, I thought I mentioned that. I saw that, and I did. I thought maybe I didn't. But this Moran Monday is going to be dedicated, I'm afraid, to... Okay. Cannabis pronouncer there, courtesy of Dave number 11. Spleef? Spliff! Rhymes with biff. Didn't know that. It's been a spleef all my life. How about that? Maybe that's the Talabama pronunciation. I don't know. But like I said, thank you, Dave. And I would love to know. And I'm trying to find, if you guys know, please let me know, because one, I'm trying to figure out a way to sneak another vaccine in before I go down among the unvaccinated, among the spread necks and the mask holes and the COVIDiots. Then this is just a hypothetical. We're going to get into Afghanistan. No, we're going out of Afghanistan. But we're going to deal with the issue here in a minute. Let's say you got one brand of vaccine. Is there any harm? Is there any harm to getting it to getting a second brand? For instance, I got Pfizer. If I could get a blast of the Moderna, is that a bad thing? Would that harm me because of what's already in my system via the Pfizer? If you get a booster, does it have to be the same brand you got before? I don't know. I'm just trying to mix things up, and I don't know. I just straightforward asked down at my local cut-rate pharmacy if I could just sort of get one on the down low. Everything has to go through the national database. So, there goes that. And I also wanted to mention that coming up in the second hour of the program, it's been a long time since we've heard from our dear friend Sister Carol Baker, and I reached out to her over the weekend to see if maybe she might be willing to come on and just talk a little bit about her world. And what goes on in it this evening, and so she's definitely she's popping by at about 6 p.m. About 7. So 6 p.m. Central will be 7 here, so it'll be the third hour of the program. And thank you very kindly to Thomas letting me know loud and clear on FYINation.com. No mixing, says Ron in Raleigh. Oh, damn. Okay. And Darlene tells me Tony Fauci recommended keeping it the same brand of shots between the first and the second. I guess that does make some sense, but it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to get one on the, you know, on the straight up. But and meanwhile, Jeremy in Vermont says, your answer based on the all-knowing cue to vaccination mixing is, fuck no, it'll really mess up your already doomed DNA from your first attempt to change it, and you'll be even more, and probably be even more magnetic than you were. Yes, I have a magnetic personality. Yeah, okay. Megan says, I can hear Thor. Sounds like he's bringing the party to your homestead. You batten down the hatches yet? Yeah, we showed them hatches. We battened them down some more. Ugh. I don't know how long this is going to go on, but... Flavio says, the Afghanistan blame game begins, and the media immediately ignores what triggered this disaster. Amanda Marcotte in today's Salon. As Afghanistan falls, the mainstream media shows no self-awareness of how a pro-war bias helped lead to this mess. One more year or five more years of U.S. military presence would not have made a difference if the Afghan military cannot or will not hold its own country. President Joe Biden, who, unlike most Americans, actually pays attention to the military and political details of the Afghanistan war, said in a statement released on Saturday, I was the fourth president to preside over an American troop presence in Afghanistan. Two Republicans, two Democrats. I would not and will not pass this war on to a fifth. The mainstream media, needless to say, does not truck with Biden's common sense argument. The same media that embraces an often absurd allergy to the appearance of bias in domestic politics showed no similar modesty in letting enthusiasm for American imperialism fly over the weekend. Instead, the collapse of the Afghan government was portrayed as a massive political liability for Biden. And it will be. It will be, because it'll be used as a cudgel by the Republicans, who were more than happy to let it go on and let it go on and let it go on. And, oh, well, we'll get there. Anyway, to be clear, there are some errors Biden made in withdrawing. Critics focused on the Afghans trying to flee the country without help from the Americans are 100% right, and every effort should be made to get refugees to safety. Still, this larger media outrage over the withdrawal is a dark reminder of the pro-war bias in the press that helped create this mess in the first place, luring the American public into thinking a war in Afghanistan could ever end in any other way. Biden spent 8 years watching military leaders mislead President Barack Obama into believing that there was a way to win this war. On that front, remember, it was the right war at the right time. No, it wasn't, and... it was never the right war. You know, if war is the answer, it's a really bad question. On that front, despite smug claims from a Politico headline that Biden's foreign policy experience fails him, there's good reason to think Biden did what he did because of that hard-won experience. My comment, says Flavio, good on Biden for not letting the media shitstorm deter him from leaving. And speaking of shitstorm, this rolled in just a little bit, and he's been at it all day long, Nitwit Nero.
It's not that we left Afghanistan, it's the grossly incompetent way we left.
Because, see, somebody finally told him, hey, dipshit, you're the one who started the withdrawal process. You're the one who said,
oh, we're definitely getting out of Afghanistan. Our forever war there is going to be over.
And all the little maggots clapped and cheered, and they're the same little maggots who are having a shit hemorrhage now, oddly enough. Yeah. God almighty. And then earlier today, it was, let's see.
Afghanistan's the most embarrassing military outcome in the history of the United States. It didn't have to be that way.
Oh, I don't know. We had some pretty god-awful embarrassing military outcomes between 1861 and 1865. The entire Valley Campaign, in which Union General Banks was given the nickname Commissary by the Confederate forces under the psychopath Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson. They called him Commissary Banks because, well, the traitors couldn't supply themselves, and so they just raided Union stores, and every time they hit Commissary Banks, they'd get some more stuff from him, and then they'd sit and party for a few days instead of just destroying that army. So, you know, and, you know, there were some pretty, I mean, look, George Washington got embarrassed right out of New York City. There are still revolutionary historical places in places like Brooklyn and in Manhattan, too. And he was sent with his tail tucked between his legs out of Boston, out of New York. He was, in fact, a terrible general.
Can anyone even imagine taking out our military before evacuating civilians and others who've been good to our country and who should be allowed to seek refuge?
I mean, in light of the fact that he didn't give a good goddamn about our Syrian friends, our friends who had put it all on the line actually fighting ISIS, well, yeah, there's that.
In addition, these people left top flight and highly sophisticated equipment. Who can believe such incompetence? Under my administration, all civilians and equipment would have been removed.
Bullshit! Bullshit. Giant bullshit. Oh, yeah, and speaking of awful military failures, Flavio reminds us, Lebanon, 1982, the Marine barracks. That was pretty awful. Yeah, Mr. President, we can keep that entire contingency of Marines aboard aircraft carriers right off the Lebanese coast, and we can get them there by helicopter faster than we could get them there by truck. Let's leave them on the aircraft carriers, Mr. President.
No, I don't think we can do that. Me and Bonzo here, we think they need to be put in the barracks.
Boom! How many Marines dead? Yeah, nothing more complicated than a truck bomb. And then his first one of today rolled in at 8:30 this morning.
First, Joe Biden surrendered to COVID, and it's come roaring back.
Bullshit. The only person who surrendered to COVID was Nitwit Nero, COVID Caligula, who let it run wild to begin with. Remember, we have 600, approaching 700,000 people dead who did not need to be dead because of COVID Caligula, not despite him.
Then he surrendered to the Taliban, who has quickly overtaken Afghanistan and destroyed confidence in American power and influence. The outcome in Afghanistan, including the withdrawal, would have been totally different if the Trump administration had been in charge. Who or what will Joe Biden surrender to next? Someone should ask him if they can find him.
Dipshit, turn on your TV. He was right there. I know. And as Ron points out, all day long I've been hearing that we went to Afghanistan to fight the perpetrators of the 9/11 attack. If you remember, there was not a single Afghan in the cohort that attacked the World Trade Center. How come we didn't attack Saudi Arabia? We let those fuckers attack us and murdered a U.S. resident. I guess that's just the way shit is. And Israel's still killing Palestinians at will in Sheikh Jarrah. We really aren't who we think we are. No, we're not. We are so not. And I have a very dear friend, a very courageous and dear friend, and she served two tours in Afghanistan, and based on her MOS, she was in daily close contact with Afghan women and children, and her heart is broken. It broke over the weekend. It broke even though she still suffers from the after effects of her service. And it broke because she knows what's coming for those women and children, especially the girl children. Because, you know, in a place like Afghanistan, they don't fool with niceties like assigned female at birth or assigned male at birth. And, you know, they just throw the little trans kids, you know, off a cliff or leave them to freeze to death in the dead of something. It's not a nice place. But the thing is, this program, having been on air as long as it has been, this program began in earnest in February 2004. And it has not, there has never been a moment where I have argued that we were in Afghanistan for any good reason whatsoever, and it is cold comfort. But I was right. We were right. There's never been a significant contingent of anyone in this community who thought that Afghanistan was going to end any other way than the way it just did. And in point of fact, it ended exactly as we predicted, exactly as I predicted. And I didn't have to get out my busted magic eight ball with the cracked screen that always says answer hazy, ask again later. Anybody could have told you. And I'm just going to get this right out there in a hurry and just say it. I despise the men of Afghanistan. I loathe them. I detest them. Because something needs to be remembered here. This whole thing has been accomplished almost, not entirely, but almost without firing a shot. The men in the Afghanistan National Army, the ANA, trained the best that we could train any armed force at vast outlays of treasure and God knows vast outlays of American blood, was never going to fight. They have been miserable chicken shits from day one, and I don't respect a single one of them. I wouldn't piss on them. I wouldn't waste my spit on them. Cowards, the lot of them. Gutless punks. I despise them. I cannot come up with enough bad words to describe the men of Afghanistan. They literally threw down their weapons at the mere mention of the word Taliban and ran. And when compared, say, with the Kurdish women who whipped ISIS's ass, the same sort of fundamentalist jackasses that comprise the Taliban with slightly different tribal ethnicities. Give me the Kurdish women any day of the week. They are an embarrassment to their own manhood. They're revolting. And frankly, they deserve everything that's coming for them. But the reason they threw down their weapons is they don't much mind. They don't give a good goddamn about their wives, their mothers, their grandmothers, their nieces, their cousins, their neighbors. And they damn sure don't give a fuck about their daughters and granddaughters. Oh, hell no. Because the Taliban will bring back Islamic fundamentalist patriarchy. And they will bring it back with a vengeance. Brother Deacon Asa just pointed out, oh no, Robin, you're wrong. This is Taliban 2.0. This is woke Taliban. Don't use that phrase. They said they'll allow women to walk on city streets. I'm being serious, yeah. And that won't last. I've heard a bunch of bilious stories like that from the for-profit media, too, about how, oh, the Taliban have had 20 years to retool their image and work on their marketing and their branding skills. I don't know. Maybe they were talking to Danny Deutsch or Donnie Deutsch, because, you know, they bring him on My Filthy Morning Habit constantly as a branding expert. Yeah, bring the little doggy up here. I got the irons in the fire. Billable Rick says, the Afghanistan and Barbara Lee, the only federal politician who voted against the attack on Afghanistan was Barbara Lee. She was also correct from the beginning of that war that it served no valid purpose and shouldn't be fought. It was always going to end this way. And I mean, somewhere in the archives, I really am on record saying exactly that. That the minute we get out, the place is going to fall and heads are going to roll. This is being, and look, let's be clear. There's not much more partisan as far as politics are concerned than me. Remember, I have never, ever, 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 even once voted for a Republican. Ever. I've never been registered to vote as anything but a Democrat, and I remain that. Not because I'm incapable of examining issues or incapable of comparing candidates, but because I have never, ever in my entire life run across one single goddamned Republican or Libertarian or what the fuck ever that shared with me my values. Okay? And when President Biden announced that we were getting the hell out, all the for-profit media out there fell all over themselves to say that, well, you know, the CIA has predicted that Kabul will not fall, the Taliban will have a presence. You know what? Fire those fucks. Fire them. Cashier them. Maybe they could handle a grill station on the overnight shift at the Waffle House better than they handled an analysis desk at the CIA. Fire them. Stand up, and every general. Every general who said, "Oh no, Mr. President, we've got the Taliban on the run." They said, "No, fire them too." And on the way out, excuse me, are you Alexander the Great? No, get out. How about you? Are you Alexander? No, you couldn't. Get out. And as Brother Deacon Asa pointed out, the Persians who were right next door could do nothing more than impose a language on them with sort of, somewhat, kind of, maybe success. But not really. Like I said, this was never going to be anything more than what it is and what it has been. Now, if we really wanted to be humanitarian about it, we would. We would. But then again, you remember, Nitwit Nero's out there running his mouth. But you remember that when it came to refugees from Syria, from that hellscape that we helped spawn. Yeah, how were we on that? How did that work out? Right. Nitwit Nero said we can't allow Syrian refugees in, but now all of a sudden he's going to be compassionate toward people who worked with us in Afghanistan. Yeah, that's after the fact, wishful thinking on his part. But if it were up to me, and it is not up to me, I would work to allow out every last woman, every last female in the entire country. Bring them to somewhere that's not going to force them to wear beekeeper suits. But then again, women can be their own worst enemies. In the areas that the Taliban took back, there were women who were complaining to the old women complaining to the old men about the younger women who didn't want to wear beekeeper suits. But really, make Afghanistan a country full of bearded goons beheading each other, and then maybe send the actual viable life force back in there after they've gotten done killing each other. I despise them, and it's not based on ethnicity. It is not based on some bullshit concept of race. It is based upon the fact that they don't want any better for themselves. And that sounds awfully white and awfully colonialist, and maybe I'm out of line on this, but if somebody doesn't care enough about the place that they live to fight for it, I mean, I'm all pro peace. I am for peaceful, nonviolent resistance. But that's not who the Taliban are. And the thing is, they didn't even have to fight. They existed on nothing. They've done this on nothing more than their reputation for terror. Mm-hmm. And the shame is not on us. It was dumb of us to go in because we had a dumb president at the time. We had a dumb president who ignored warning after warning after warning that an attack was coming. It could have been stopped. Previous to that, the worst they'd done was to blow up a truck in the bottom of the World Trade Center. That gave us a clue that maybe that was a target for them. And they attacked here and they attacked there. And then they did September 11th, 2001. And we responded by attacking the country that, as Ron and Raleigh pointed out, that none of the bombers came from. Mostly they came from Saudi Arabia, a few came from Egypt. None of them came from Afghanistan. Bin Laden was hiding in Afghanistan because it was a great place to hide. As he kind of proved, you know. Ooh, Mr. Cotta, says Darlene in Connecticut. Didn't Trump and big-ass Pompeo make an agreement? Yeah, he graduated first in his class at West Point. Make an agreement with the Taliban to release 5,000 Taliban soldiers, including Commander Malavi Talib, all of whom are now, well, you know, in control of Afghanistan. And isn't Commander Talib of the Taliban now claiming to be the leader of Afghanistan? Just asking! I think you are correct on all fronts there. One of the better images that I've seen over the course of the weekend came from our buddy Irwin in Montana, who had a sort of side-by-side comparison. It showed one of the maggots who invaded the Capitol on January 6th with his boots up on Nancy Pelosi's desk, and then it showed a bunch of the beards fucking off inside the government of the pathetic Afghanistan regime that we set up and propped up with our own blood for so long. And you know what? The two look remarkably similar. Yeah. Darlene adds, let's not forget, the motherfucker that started this whole fucking mess with the support of plenty of Dems, including Hillary and even good old Joe, George W. fucking Bush. And we brought the bodies, initially we were bringing back the bodies in cardboard boxes, remember that? And they wouldn't let anybody show up at Dover, Delaware to see the cardboard boxes full of formerly animated human flesh being brought out on their cardboard boxes out of those transport planes, yeah. And there was no public coverage of the bodies coming home much. And then there was Babs Bush, who, when asked if she was concerned about the families who would actually be paying the blood price for our stupidity, for her son's stupidity, said, "Why would I trouble my beautiful mind with how many were dead and how many were wounded?" Yeah. Well, Afghanistan 2001, Stephen, New York says, I remember I was in law school on 9/11. I remember I had a Pakistani classmate. There was an ignorant 20-something turd who was yelling, bomb 'em after 9/11. I remember the Pakistani classmate and I asking, bomb what? Bomb the craters that have been there since 1980? We want a bomb. And, of course, Donald Rumsfeld had the same complaint, saying that there was nothing left to bomb in Afghanistan because it had already all been bombed. And under those circumstances, I feel sorry for the Afghan people. Mostly, they just want to be left alone. And yes, before Kabul fell, Kandahar fell. And Kandahar is, of course, named after who? Yeah, Alexander. Alexander the Great. Or where a lot of people in that part of the world are concerned, Alexander the Great Big Murderous Asshole. Because history looks different depending on which angle you view it from. Mm-hmm. Leah, New York. Afghanistan, I held a bit of hope for Afghanistan that was overly optimistic. I feel we failed them. If we'd improved life by spending on having roads and health care and education and reliable electricity, the Afghanistan people would have liked the improved life. It is hard to sell worse when you've seen better. We never gave them better. We could have tried a Marshall Plan, but we only focused on the military. Well, we did a lot of hearts and minds stuff. That's one of those things that my friend did. But you're trying to impose so-called Western-style democracy on people practically utterly unfamiliar with it. an area that's been ruled by warlords, and I know this sounds awfully Vietnam. Them people's been fighting each other for the last 10,000 years. That was a big thing back in the late 60s and early 70s. And it seems to be getting some more sort of a modern polish job. But they are some badass hillbillies. If you fuck with them from outside and left to their own devices, they prefer to just fuck with each other. In that regard, they're very like the Scots. But they had no interest, no desire to have that better. And we did do some better there. But Jesus, these are people who will sit by while the bearded thugs blow up their most precious cultural heritage. The Bamiyan Buddhas. Those are not going to be rebuilt. And as for Afghan women, Ron in Raleigh says, I heard an interview with a woman member of parliament who called camel shit on Ashraf Ghani, who turned tail and ran. She said that she was going to stay despite the danger to her person. She was not the only one. The Saudis are chicken shit. So are Kuwaitis and the Emiratis. Yeah. The Turks, you know, under thug Erdogan. Well, at one point in time, okay, we'll help them secure the Kabul airport. See, have they gone all see you later yet? Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm here, Shorty. This program is live. She said, sounds live-ish. Yeah, well, the thing is, talking about what would happen to Afghanistan after we got out, this could be a program from 2008, 2004, 2012, 2016, any time. And look, I predicted this when Nitwit Nero said,
you know, it's time for us to end our forever war.
And I said, look, when we're gone, it's just going to revert. And they'll be back to lopping off heads in soccer stadiums before you can say Union Oil Company pipeline to the sea. Now let's see who comes in next. Maybe it'll be that velvet glove over the iron fist that is China. They've got some territorial interest there, don't they? And you know what else they love? Lithium and rare earth elements. That was the main reason we stayed as long as we did. It had nothing to do with girls going to school. Come on. Don't kid yourself. It's not like this country's a paradise for women either. And it's a constant struggle. Better than there, I guess, yeah. But we weren't there for the women, the girls. We were there because there are vast, untapped, unmined, unexploited reserves of rare earth minerals and lithium. And now we don't even get that. And that's probably where a lot of the anger is coming from. There are a lot of people who stood to get really, really rich from the exploitation of those mineral resources. You know, bringing the resource curse to Afghanistan to add to all the other curses that are already there. And, of course, yeah, don't forget, Flavio says, the U.S. financed the Taliban Mujahideen to get the Russians out in 1979. Yeah, that was what Ron and Raleigh was talking about relative to Zbigniew Brzezinski. They were the Mujahideen then. Al-Qaeda had been set up as a sort of ad hoc volunteer VA for Mujahideen veterans. And that slowly morphed into a virulent and well-funded terrorist group that, remember, you know, when we talk, if we talk about September 2001, we really should never do that without remembering that Osama bin Laden, having attacked the United States, sent a letter It's not like he sat over in a cave in where the fuck ever with the, you know, with his thumbs in his ears doing donkey ears at us. Nah. Fucked with the great Satan. Nah. He told us. He told us that he felt a religious compulsion to attack the United States because the United States had heathen, infidel soldiers on the sickening sacred sand of Saudi Arabia. A lot of alliteration there. And then George W. Bush, a guy who knew a little something about running away from the military, pulled the military out of Saudi Arabia, put them in, what, Qatar? And the next thing you know, no more attacks on U.S. soil from Al-Qaeda. And it had not a damn thing to do with attacking Afghanistan. We just gave him what he wanted, and then, you know, he decided to go and take, you know, 6'6" dude with a portable dialysis machine, went to hang out with his buddies in Pakistan. And by the way, this is off topic, but it tells you a little bit about that part of the world. I went down the internet rabbit hole the other day at the behest of Boss Man Wayne and watched an interview over on YouTube with a guy whose last name is Greer, interviewed up in Vermont. It was like a 48-minute interview. Guy once got popped and spent like 20 years in a Canadian prison. He got busted for trying to smuggle 80 tons of hash into Far Canoodlia. And one of the things that he talked about in there, in that interview, was how one goes about getting 80 tons of hash aboard a freighter with hash from Pakistan. And one of his primary partners was the husband of the former and assassinated Prime Minister of Pakistan. And she was hailed. You'll remember the name. She was hailed as opening a new chapter for women in Afghanistan, or in Pakistan, sorry. And so they blew her to pieces. Her name was Benazir Bhutto. And her hubby, who went on to become prime minister in his own right, was the point of contact for transshipping 80 tons of hashish out of Pakistan and into Canada. And this isn't like made-up conspiracy theory stuff. This guy was he was smack dab in the middle of the whole thing, and he'd smuggled tons and tons of hash before. It's just that he finally got caught, because everybody finally gets caught, you know, when you're smuggling hash. Nice guy, you know, very much would not, you wouldn't. He was just a kid in college who found a good way to make some money selling weed, and as he described it, you know, as long as you're honorable, you can keep climbing up the chain. And nobody ever bumped him off in prison. But that's, you know, that's the, it is such, we are such babes in the woods where foreign policy is concerned. We really, really are clueless. As to stability, Steve in New York says, ponder Afghanistan over the centuries. Constant change and upheaval with absolutely no stability. When a group of people are not sure about who's going to be in charge from day to day, month to month, or year to year, anyone who brings some sort of stability gets to walk right in and fill that gap. Recall that power abhors a vacuum. This is what happened in Germany post-Weimar Republic and hyperinflation. It almost happened here, but for a person like Smedley Butler, who snitched on Henry Ford, Prescott Bush, and other anti-FDR fascists. People seeking stability will cede an awful lot for something as simple as continuity and stability. Afghanistan is no different. We take that stability for granted here. Yeah, there is a quote that is attributed to Benjamin Franklin, wherein he is alleged to have said, and may not have, that anyone who would trade freedom for stability deserves neither. So, you know, there's that. Let me see here. Hold on a minute. So there's ever so much more to say about Afghanistan, and I welcome any and all of you to talk about it. We got some, you know, some new COVID Moran news today. Flavio reminds me, and Agnes had sent it along too. Cardinal Raymond Burke has been horizontally crucified. You know, got the garden hose down his throat. His arms are stretched out. Got the IVs going in him. He can hear everything, but he can't do anything. He can't move. He can't blink his eyes. But he's there. The 73-year-old, as reported by The Guardian and the Associated Press, who has frequently been seen maskless in Rome, where he lives, you know, where they bugged him out to save him from, well, never mind, tested positive last Wednesday while visiting Wisconsin. Burke has also criticized how governments have handled the pandemic, referring to the virus in a homily last December as the Wuhan virus, because he's a vicious little xenophobe, a derogatory term used by former President Donald Trump to describe the coronavirus. He also said vaccines had been developed, quote, through the use of the cell lines of aborted fetuses, unquote, and that, quote, a kind of microchip needs to be placed under the skin of every person so that any moment he or she can be controlled by the state regarding health and about other matters which we can only imagine, unquote. The story goes on to note experts on health and misinformation have repeatedly debunked such conspiracy theories. The conservative cleric is a leading critic of Pope Frank. He was born in Richland Center in southwestern Wisconsin and served as bishop in the Diocese of La Crosse from 1995 to 2004. Well, I don't know why he went to the hospital. I mean, there's probably vaccinated people taking care of him there. I mean, maybe. That's one of the things that blows my mind out of all of this, is that every healthcare worker is not vaccinated. And there are some people who are healthcare workers now or who are so goddamn stupid that they won't get vaccinated, at least until absolutely compelled so to do. And by the way, for anybody who says, well, you know, I'm waiting for it to have full FDA approval. That's bullshit. No, they're not. When full FDA approval comes out, they'll say something like, well, you know, I'm waiting to find out about the 20-year long-term epidemiological study on it. There'll always be an excuse. So, you know, just a heads up, because we get a lot of this stuff right. And John in Central PA points out, you know, this is why the media did a dangerous thing by rehabilitating George W. Bush's reputation. Mm-hmm. But they were anxious to do anything they could to turn attention away from the fact that all of this, cannot be laid at the feet of Nitwit Nero. Nitwit Nero is a symptom, not the disease. He's a really bad symptom. Like, you know, the not being able to breathe part of COVID-19 is a really bad symptom, but there's other symptoms too, you know, like losing your sense of taste and smell. Well, he was the not being able to breathe part, but we've had this sickness in our country for a long, long, long time. And there just happen to be a lot of people in this country who don't want to see that. Not can't see it, don't wish to see it, because they are hopelessly mired in the tired old trope of both-siderism and supposed bullshit balance, and both sides do it. Yeah. As to Cardinal Burke, a well-known hyper-closeted gay man, is there any doubt with a photo of Cardinal Burke sitting there in his House of Whoville hat and his mink stole and his his little white lace chemise. Girl, you are a fashion emergency. COVID in America, Jeremy in Vermont points out, in the last 2 weeks, America has lost 7,000 people to COVID, bringing our total deaths to 621,000 as of yesterday, with that sustained and gaining total of deaths around or before September 1st. We'll hit the 628,000 total deaths of our civil war and eclipse that number on the way to the prediction of a million or more by the time we've beaten this thing. I know. As to that perhaps apocryphal quote from Ben Franklin, it was freedom versus security, Steve reminds us. Mink Stoll, hello, it's Ermine. Oh, I've just got so much to... I thought the Ermine had the little dark flecks in it, but I've just... I've got so much to learn about fashion in Holy Mother Church. Yeah, Randy Radar, you may be right. Call it the Trump vaccine, and then everybody will get it. Problem solved. But they've tried that. And, you know, you get things like,
no, he didn't really take it. Nah, he didn't really take it. They just showed that. They just said that just to make people take it so the government could control us and track us wherever we wanted to. Wait, what's it say about that on Facebook? Let me get my phone out of my pocket.
Yeah, I know. So, anyway, there goes the first hour of the program, the Phil Robster. And remember, we're trying to raise $110 tonight. Frank and Joey and Giraffe have challenges on the table to help us be fully funded for this week so that we can, be okay going into the away time. Quite frankly, and here is tonight's Star Trek reference, courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut, Trump left Biden with a shit ton of Kobayashi Marus. Afghanistan is the latest. No-win situations, no matter what. Damn, old Joe's got some guts. He does. I mean, that takes... I will not leave this to a fifth president like it was left to me. Ouch. And let's remember, Trump was supposed to be a top negotiator, the art of the deal maker. Really? And pomp-ass Pompeo? What the hell is wrong with that graduating at the top of his class at West Point, asshole? MF-er runs for president, then Dems most never let him live this down. Ever. Ever. And aside from the fact that we killed and have now left allied Afghanis minus a select few to swing and sway in the wind, because, you know, brown people, we're a worldwide embarrassment and $1 trillion in the red to boot. How the fuck is that representative of Republican conservatism? Speaking of boots, the Iraqi who threw his at W had the right idea and yet still let that dumbass off the boot hook way too easy. Well, indeed, Darlene, indeed. And we would do well to remind, because I saw, who was it? I think it was our pal Joy in Ann Arbor earlier today on Facebook said, damn that Biden for cutting and running out of Afghanistan. He never should have invaded in the first place. Probably out playing golf or something. Yeah. Well, by God, that's a reason to get you here. Steve in New York says, if I'm able to come to the Horn Inn, I will wear my bona fide, actual, real bishop vestments complete with mitre and crozier. You know, we've got a place called Crozier's here. And they're one of the leading suppliers of porta-potties to various and sundry outdoor events. Somehow that makes some goddess of irony sense. Yeah. Thank you, by the way. Thank you to Robert in Australia. I will watch that after the program. So, as we hope to keep from digging into another hole for this week, let's run across and check in with Silent R. Lamar the Magnificent. Hey, Lamar.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm shitty.
Sorry about that. Why?
Well, because I go back to work with all the little kids whose parents are screaming and hollering, I don't want my asshole with the mask on. I go back into the classroom Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm going in prepared. You know, I like my community because my community does not play. I know 97% of the children have been vaccinated. And those who do not know they can get the shot for free may not have the shot. I'm going in on the blessing of my Lord. Lord, don't let me go out this way. But that's not what I called in. I called in because I was listening to my demented humor, Tom Lehrer and all the other people. And I was doing so good until I decided to listen to your show.
My bad.
And you brought my hat. No, it's not your bad. I don't miss your show if I can avoid it. Robin, I love your show. I hate that I cannot participate or contribute like I used to. But, you know, I got children. I got to say.
Don't even mention it. Don't beat yourself up. Don't do that.
Well, I don't beat myself up because, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I live with it. But, you know, being like, I didn't want to get into this Afghanistan garbage because it's the same shit I heard when I was 2 weeks before I was deployed out of California to go sit and wait to go to Vietnam. I missed the shit by a cunt hair, okay? Pubic hair. I missed
Thank
going
you.
To the bath. I missed it by that much of a distance. This is why I don't talk about it. I don't get into it because my version and my mentality and my reconnaissance of the ordeal is totally different. And I'm going to be truthful with you. I see no difference. I mean, I'm going to be truthful with you. People, if I upset anybody or make anybody mad, hey, guess what? Direct your comments to me, not you. If you're upset with anything I say, point it to Lamar, not Robin, Lamar, because I'm talking about what I went through. They told us we went into Vietnam to stop communism. Hey, they're a communist country. Am I lying?
Yeah, how'd that work out? And we do a shit ton of business with them. They make a lot of tennis shoes over there.
Yes, they do because of free, cheap ass labor. America's problem is free fucking labor. If we got rid of free labor and everybody had to pay what they're supposed to pay, we would have the companies and manufacturing in America that we need to have. Thanks to Reaganomics and Captain Reagan and the monkey and all this other bullshit, thank you. This is why we live like we live now. We have been under 40 years of Reaganomics. And, you know, I can't ask my child. See, here's the thing. My oldest child was born in 81. Don't know shit about this. My second oldest child was born in 83. She don't know shit because she was a baby. My oldest son was born in 88. He don't know shit about America. And this is where American civics come in. They want to talk about critical race theory. You know what? Let's talk about critical race theory. Critical race theory does not talk about just black. It talks about every other goddamn race. Chinese people, Asian people were not treated friendly in the 1800s. In fact, no other race was treated fairly in the 1800s. Well, you don't want to know it, you're going to repeat the bullshit that your ancestors did. End of story. I'm like this. We, America, the American population, America was, what, 1492 or 19 whatever, 18 whatever? We're under 600 years of existence. You want to go to a country that's been around for 3,500 years and tell them the way you live is not right? No, kiss my black ass. Afghanistan, those people understand the Taliban rule. They don't want to live under it, but they understand it. And guess what? If we really want to save Afghanistan, why didn't we put up a goddamn wall? Build a wall separating Afghanistan like the Germans did. You have an East Afghanistan and a West Afghanistan. And all those in the East want to be under American rule. We could came in and went in and did what we want to do. Believe me, not everybody wants to live like an American. Especially, think about it. If you are a person of color in another country, do you really want to live like Americans? The way they punk, if you ain't white, you don't have no rights. Come on now, white people, wake up. And you know, Robin, I hear you. You touched on a lot of things that I was going to get into, but you know what? I'm not going to get into it. America's biggest problem is America needs to take care of America first. Before Reagan, America was the shiny city on the hill because we demonstrated by example. If you want to go with our example now, shit, I'm like, anybody want to be like America? Especially if you want to piss on people who don't look like the ruling class. I'm like, I mean, it's really weird. I'm listening to, I've turned off the politics for the day, a whole lot of other stuff, due to the fact that I'm hearing the same shit I heard in 68, 69, and 73. I don't want to hear that. Everybody's talking about, oh, look, it looks like Saigon. Everybody's blah, 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 blah. If you really wanted to save those people, we knew when we were getting out. Why didn't you get them out first? And then all Biden had to do is say, I'm not blaming Biden. Don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming Biden because I learned civics. The president is limited in what he can do. It's up to Congress to get that shit done right. Congress, the Republicans in Congress are full of shit. Like Ron Paul sitting up there saying, I am not going to support or give any security situations to Benghazi, that area of Benghazi. Fuck Benghazi. And then when that shit blew up, it's Hillary's fault. Well, excuse me, bullshit asshole. She asked for more security. What did you say? Kiss your white ass. So she didn't kiss your white ass. A lot of people died in Benghazi for. And guess what? You want to pin that on her? You know what? America, she got problems. Like Merkel said from Germany, the chancellor, America, she got problems. She be sick. America is sick, period. Until we check our own yard, until we do what is right for our people, how the fuck can we ask somebody else to do right? Am I delusional?
No, you're not. And, you know, it's interesting, Lamar, that you brought up the obvious Vietnam comparison. I got a little piece of news here. It was kind of, well, son of a gun, this timed out nicely. There is one remaining individual still alive from the Khmer Rouge, you know, in Cambodia.
Okay.
And the killing fields of Pol Pot. His name is Khieu Samphan.
Mm-hmm.
And only recently, like today, he started an appeal against his life imprisonment sentence for the war crimes that he had a part in and the genocide that he had a part in more than 40 years ago. And he was convicted in 2018 for things that happened between 1975 and 1979. And it's like, really? I know justice is slow, but I mean, the point being, Lamar, that shit is still with us.
Well, the point that no American wants to understand, the people we're dealing with are not American. Secondly, you do what you have to do to survive. And if to survive it means you must do certain things, you do them because you want to save your people. Now, if America was all about what she was talking about, it would have been like this. Biden should have just, if I was an earpiece to Biden. I'll tell him simply. Tell the Taliban one thing. We're leaving. We want to take all the people who do not want to be under your regime. Allow us to do that. If you stop us, we'll come here and we will level the sandbox. And that would be the end of what I have to say, because all I've said is this. The people who don't want to live under you will take them, because we are America. We are the melting pot of the world. We take all the people who do not have a home, and we'll give them a new home. That's something America has fucked up and forgotten about. And I'm like this. All he would have to do is just say, you know what, Taliban leader, it's like this. All the people who don't want to stay in Afghanistan, they're allowed, we give them the right to come to America. If you shoot any of them, we will level the sandbox. And all he has to do is just wait and hear about somebody being killed, doing this, then come in and level that town. Just level that town. Just that town. We have the firepower to pinpoint and destroy whatever we want. We have the technology. We can rebuild. Like in the $6 million man, we can do a whole lot of shit if we choose to do it. But the problem we have a Congress which dictates what the president can do, and the American people do not understand that point. Because if I was him, I would tell him, you know what? Hey, this is woo. I would tell him that. The minute they did something that was against me, I will send them my airstrike, blow up the little band of hoodlums sitting in a tent somewhere, level that goddamn area, and if the Republicans want to impeach me, I'll say, impeach me, kiss my white ass. I gave them my word that I will protect those people and I'll do this and that, and they disregarded what I said. You know what? The hell with it. America is a force. We are the most powerful country in the world. Let's start using what we can do. We don't have to be bullies. We don't have to be aggressive. But we do have to stand up and say whatever we say. You want to kill an interpreter? Fine. You kill the interpreter in this little town of 3,500 people? Level that goddamn area. That will put pressure on the Taliban as well as let them know that we mean business. Collateral damage. One thing, back in the 60s, America believed in collateral damage. This is why we never negotiated with terrorists. Hey, we tell them, roll off the top. Oh, you hijacked the plane. Fine. As long as you don't kill nobody, you ain't got nothing to worry about. The minute they kill somebody, we leveled the area that we knew they were from. We're going to get them, the cousins, the aunties, and everybody else. We were a tyrant. I do not underestimate America. I know what America really is. We are the most vicious group of people on the planet, if we choose to be. But we can use that meanness for goodness instead of just being complacent.
Well, you're getting a lot of agreement out there, Lamar. Our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan, just said, Silent R is so correct, or at least that's my take on history when it comes to Reagan and Reaganomics and the erosion of our standard of living from those policies. Friedman should be pronounced fried man, like fried chicken, only burned up and not nearly as tasty and useful as fried chicken. Jeremy in Vermont, on the other hand, says, sandbox leveling. We leveled the sandbox for 20 years. The Taliban has time on its side. As soon as a country leaves and realizes it can't change shit, it reverts back to the way it's always been, tribal and run by warlords who impose their will on anyone who disagrees. And see, that's what I actually think is coming now. Because hold on. I think that's what's coming now. Because it's China's turn. And they think they've got a better approach to things, but, well, you know, when China goes in and tries to exploit those rare earth elements and all that lithium, we'll do what we did before. We'll send some guns and bombs and shit to whoever wants to fight the Chinese, and we'll make their life miserable. Just like we did with the Soviets. That's all anybody can do. That's what they did with us.
I understand the soft diplomacy, but getting back to the gentleman, what he said, I am one step further than him. I understand that these people have lived this lifestyle for 3,000 years. I'm not asking them to be American. I'm asking them to do what is right. Now, if they want to beat up their women and do all this stuff, that's fine. That's their culture. I'm not interested in changing their culture. But when they start doing genocide, if the UN does not get involved, I will stand down. But the minute the UN gets involved about humane disadvantages or evil, I can't get the word out. I'm being tongue-tied right now. But when the UN comes in and says, you know what, you guys are doing stuff against humanity, then I will step in. Outside of that, that's their damn country. If the people who do not fight to hold up their country and go with what the country is going with, that's your choice. I'm sorry. You want to live like an American, then you should have stood up or left or did what you have to do as an American. Just like the people in Russia who are standing up and giving Putin the bullshit and the hair-raising bullshit that he's going through. All we have to do is have the United Nations get involved. America can step on, Trump's best friend's testicles and squeeze them. But we cannot do nothing that is not our country. It's real damn central. If you know history, if you know the way the world rolls, just because you don't like how they slap their women around, there's nothing you can do. But you know what? What America could do is give those people asylum. If they want to leave that country, let them leave. And just tell them, Taliban, these people want to leave. Give me a good reason why they can't leave. And if you can't give me a good reason why they can't leave, get your ass out the way and let them leave. Or we're going to blow up something where we know you are. End of conversation. If when you got the muscle, you got to flex it correctly. I knew Afghanistan was going to die. It was going to fall because it's like any other civilization. Just like America. If some other country would have come into America telling us that we got to do this, we got to put women back in cages, we got to make them get under the bus, we got to make them go back into the bedroom butt naked and pregnant, you think the American women are going to stand up for that? No, they're going to uprise. And then the men are going to uprise with them. Don't tell me that those men in Afghanistan are pussies. That's bullshit. They're surviving. We're not over there. We cannot.
Right. They chose run away instead of stand and fight because their women and their children just weren't worth it.
Well, you know what? It's not exactly that. That's part of it, but the other side of the coin. You have to understand their culture first. That's what I was saying.
I do understand their culture, and their culture places no value on women. All the value is a patriarchal society where all the value is on men.
Okay. Now, what you do, you put pressure on them to share that position that women are. I myself, if I was the president or in charge of it, I would say, you know what? I understand that women do not have any value in your culture. I'm saying on a humanity-based situation, women can contribute. You need to figure out what they can do to help contribute and open up the avenue for them to contribute. If you don't want to do that, fine. Next time you have a crisis, don't look this way because you ain't getting shit. If you have a sandstorm or some shit going there, United Nations say, hey, we need to help these Afghanistan and the Taliban survive this winter. I'm going to say, you know what? I'll help them on one condition. They think about how they treat their women. End of story. End of story. If you're going to play hardball, come to play hardball. Don't be a pussy about playing hardball, because you're not going to win. Donald pussy-ass Trump made a deal with the Taliban to let them have rain, which they got rain because they knew America wasn't going to do anything because of the previous president. And see, this is where a lot of Americans make the mistake. Every other country in the world knows how we function. We don't know how we function. They know how we function. People sit there and they want to have an argument with the Shah of Iran or with Iran. Guess what? America in the 70s and the 60s put our own person in there to do our bidding. And he fucked that country up. That country was 2,000 years older than us. We put somebody in there want to bring new shit to the world. The rest of the population did not agree with it. The only people, okay, let me put to you in a real simple form. The only people who really, really want to do what America is doing right now in Afghanistan are people under the age of 45. And they don't have no power. So how are you going to change that country? Just like in America. If we decide we're going to go another direction, we got people who've been around since the 40s. That shit ain't changing. We are not shifting. Every big-ass country is like a ship in the ocean. It takes a little time for that damn ship to turn in direction. There ain't no little motorboat you can sit there and you turn in about 25-mile radius or 20-foot radius. We need a 4 to 8 mile radius turn on a hard turn. I'm talking about a hard turn. If America is going to make a turn in any goddamn direction, it's going to be a 25-mile turn. This ship is too goddamn big to turn like a goddamn ski boat.
True enough.
We ain't a ski boat. We're not a ski boat. So if they're going to change in 1950, guess what? It's going to take effect in 1975. Just like I tell my students. Civil rights, black people won their civil rights in 1865. Why did it take 1965 for us to actually smell it?
Well, so I had a note from Brother Deacon Asa Lamar, and he says, Lamar's correct. A good chunk of the Afghans, especially the older, more conservative class, despise the materialist lifestyle of the West. I imagine it's the same story next door to the West. And it absolutely is.
Well,
yeah, I was talking on this program a month ago about the fact that the Taliban were coming into under-defended areas, and the old beards were running out to tattle on the young folks, and women were being beaten and whipped and thrashed and slashed for doing things like using a cell phone. Okay? I mean, that's where they are. It's who they are. And I'm not going to... leave them to their own miserable business, I suppose. But, you know, that doesn't mean that I have to, remain silent
accepted.
Over it.
Well, yeah. You know what? That's the point.
And if this is the world they want to live in, we need to offer an opportunity to the people who don't want to live in that world to not have to live in that world, because there's clearly not enough of them in that country to make their country their country. They want to live.
Well, you know,
they want to live in the 9th century, okay? They were probably more civilized in the 9th century than they are now, Lamar.
Believe me, they have rules and regulations in their culture that would change the way we live.
Shit, yeah, they just kill me. They'd just kill my trans ass.
Well, that could be changed. Because your situation is real simple.
We had 20 years to change that shit. And we made some progress with it because, you know, now there are women who are beautiful models in, you know, Western capitalist society and things like that. But they can't be that back where they came from. And you know, and I understand that we all pine for home. Hillbillies are the worst about it. You take a hillbilly out of the mountains, I don't care where the mountains are, hillbillies are going to pine for the hills. And I reckon they do that. They do that just as much there. But
I agree with you.
But none of this, not one damn bit of this, can be laid on Joe Biden's doorstep. Not one thing.
I don't want to lay nothing on Biden's doorstep. You know what? I was watching Dialogue Josie Well last night.
Oh, my God.
And I was, when I watch movies, I watch movies in an open mind situation. And I got everything why he was fighting and what he was up against and how he felt. I don't blame him. He was a human being. His lifestyle was being changed, and nobody gave him an avenue to merge into the today's situation. This is why they called him an outlaw. Anytime you don't do what the establishment wants, you are a criminal. Just like the Black Panthers. Hey, they were feeding and helping Black people, teaching Black people, feeding Black people. Guess what? They became enemy number one. Why? Because they were doing what nobody, no white person, I'm not talking about you, but there are a group of white people who were in power, did not want to be done or help any person of color. And see, the Black Panthers didn't just help Black people. They helped everybody, whites, Asians, Mexicans. If you were not white, including if you were white, if you were not in a class of money. See, this is where America is screwed up at. America is based on money, class. How much money do you make? Why, when you go get a loan, they ask you how much money you make. They don't ask you if you can pay it back. They ask you how much money you make. But then if you're white, you can go in and get you a $30,000 loan knowing that you only make $900,000. You only make $9,000 a year. But you get that loan because you are white. It is a color-based financial situation. Until everybody understands that, the system will keep perpetuating like it is. I can get up on my soapbox and scream all damn day and night about how blacks are being mistreated. There's going to be black people going to jump up who got above me or where I'm at who say, that's not so. I don't really, but they have forgotten how they got there. See, I can talk because when I was in the 60s, my parents were upper middle class. Upper middle class. When I went to apply for a goddamn loan, oh my God, your parents make too much motherfucking money. But we're black. They ain't got nothing to do with it. Your mama makes $50,000, your father makes $150,000 a year. You don't qualify. What the fuck? What are you talking about? Getting back to Juanita in Florida when she was talking about what she was going to and all this other stuff. I've been there. I've seen it. The situation in America, America's Republicans have set the bar as you must be dissolute. You can't have a goddamn thing before America helps you. That's bullshit. They need to change that shit. They need to get that shit out of the road. If a person comes to you for aid and help, you as a government, we the people to form a more perfect fucking union, should be able and willing to help. Instead of saying, oh, you got to give up all your earthly belongings and become part of the scum and the degenerates of the world for us to help you. That's bullshit. And that's the way this country runs right now. I don't care if you're a redneck, trailer park, or whatever you want to be. You can't get out of the hole because they have set a criteria that does not have a color variance on it. White people are mad because black people are getting this. Well, you know what? Maybe those black people are worse off than you. Did you ever think about that bullshit? And nobody thinks. See, America under Reagan became a selfish country of hatred assholes.
Bingo. Wait a minute. Stand by. There, there, you get a cowbell for that, Silenar. And listen, Silenar, I've got a guest coming on that we haven't heard from in a very long time, here in about 20 minutes, and I've got somebody waiting on hold. So let's talk again soon. And in the meantime, I'll be thinking about you as you head back into the viral swamp.
Well,
and hoping you can stay safe.
Like I said, I got my rosary and my cross and all this other shit that I use to fend off the sin. But, you know, he who without sin cast the first stone, I ain't got no rocks on my side.
There we go. Exactly. Silenar, you have a good evening, my friend.
I'll talk to you later, my sister.
You stay safe out there. I thank you for the call.
Be
good now. Later. That's our buddy Silenar Lamar, and I think we got Todd before Carol jumps in and joins us. Hey, Todd.
Hey, who's your guest again, please?
Carol Baker.
Oh my God, I haven't heard from her in a while.
Yeah, we got to chatting briefly last night. We'll be getting a report from on the ground in the Kansas City, COVID Zuri.
Carol, you know, I think she called in, I think, the first time I ever called in. We're somewhere in that chronological order somewhere. Yeah. But listen, you know, there's something in the ether. Donald Lamar was saying. You know, we're at this point, because I hear it all the time, like, oh, I wish we were back in the days of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. And, you know, I always have to come back. Like, I'm a union person. I remember they made that promise. You know, we're going to make these concessions, but we'll make you whole. Don't worry about it. We have to do this to stay competitive. And we never gained ground, and we've just been boiling in this water ever since. And now we're in this $10 economy and wondering, why is everybody poor? And I like what Lamar said about you know, food assistance. I think every household should get at least $20 a month in a food assistance card. If you don't need it, you know, you take it and you replenish your local food bank with it. Because even if you're one of these right-wing crazy people, they believe that if you eat the right foods, that you can overcome anything. You know, that's what they believe.
Oh, I was standing in the store just yesterday and I looked over on the shelf and son of a gun, there it was. Beet juice gummies. Super beets.
So you understand what I'm saying.
I do. Right. And frankly, I think it should be at least $100 a month. But by the way, just because we're so good at predicting what's coming, it's not that hard really if you work on it. There was the big news today, Todd, about a substantial jump in the amount of food assistance in the SNAP benefit program. Like 20% or so. And what they pointed out is it's still not going to make people be able to eat food every day of the month who rely on it, but they'll eat food for a little further into the month than they would beforehand. So get ready. Here comes the messaging. Joe Biden is the food stamp president. People have never had to have more food assistance than they did under this goddamn neoliberal establishment, shill democratic communist fascist Rosicrucian administration. Goddamn, we used to be great. We used to let people starve to death on the streets like Jesus wanted us to. I mean, you know it's coming, Todd, right?
Well, of course it is. But see, okay, you know, there's something, once again, I'm going back to the ether. Because I'm driving back. We had torrential rain. Monsoon rains, and we had these idiots driving with no lights on. You don't even know what anyone's in front of you until they tap the brakes. It's like, oh, where the fuck did you come from? Why are you doing 90 miles an hour and have no lights on?
Yeah, it's like when the Klingon bird of prey uncloaks right in front of the Enterprise. You know, son of a bitch.
No. And it's like, you are really that stupid. God damn, you ain't going to be around that much longer.
Well, that was monsoon rain that was hitting earlier. I mean, it seems to have cleared away now, but damn, that was some ferocious shit coming down here.
Woo, so you got it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know where it came from. Is that the remainder of that hurricane, that tropical storm that just sort of wandered up the Florida coast? Is that what that was?
That's it. It's moving very slowly. You know, when they move slowly, they pick up energy.
Yeah, and the slower they move, the more heat they suck up out of it. Right. Yeah. And right now, the Gulf of Mexico is freaking is uncomfortable bathwater. You know, that bathwater where you stick that first toe in and go, oh, damn, it's hot.
Right. Oh, boy. See, that's a whole tangent. But I dovetailed into that, coming from what Lamar was saying. Also, this ether, there's something in the ether now. Maybe they went too far. Maybe people are starting to wake up. Because, you know, like I said, even these folks who they don't believe in vaccines, but they make all these assumptions like everyone has a perfect immune system. Like, if you have a perfect immune system, you might be able to overcome a lot of diseases by eating enough good foods. But guess what? That costs a lot of money. You know, or the most expensive thing in the supermarket, steak and juices, fresh juices.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good to have some, you know, steak once in a while if you're not a vegetarian and whatever.
Oh, dude, up at the Wiggling Pig. You know what those evil geniuses have been doing? They've been cutting tomahawk ribeyes.
Oh, shit.
You know, with the whole rib bone there, you can just kind of hold it by the rib bone and gnaw on it like the caveman that you are, cavewoman.
Yeah.
And they're cutting them like 2 inches thick.
Shit. That's some good eating right there.
Yeah, I haven't been able to afford one yet, but I look longingly at them.
Well, see, that's the other, okay, right. That okay. So,
because one of those bad boys is $40. One.
Well, and thank you. You see, this is how brilliant you are. You brought this full circle back. This is exactly what I was going to say. Because what happens when they say Biden's a food stamp president and they're giving out all this money and you see food went up? It's like, well, food went up because the folks who produce it, they got greed. Don't blame the poor people who need to eat. Why the fuck do you want to blame the poor people?
Well, because they don't have a lobby, and they don't have anybody to stand up for them. You know, they don't have Joe Manchin there cashing checks for the poor people.
Well, I know you're right.
And so I expect any day now for Joe to leap in front of a camera and say, you know, I'm worried about what this increased food stamp stuff is, these increased SNAP benefits. I'm really worried about what that's going to do to the deficit. I worry about the debt that we're passing on to our grandchildren. Well, you know, we're not going to get any grandchildren to pass it on to there, Joe, because, well, you'd rather they go hungry.
All this shit is related. The permanently low, I mean, this shit was slow and steady, the degradation of wages, ever since Reagan came in. I mean, that's just like, come on, we've already had, you know, this discussion. The person who came up, you know, with that whole idea that, trickle-down economics might work, you know, trying to dovetail off off of Friedman, but so we see it didn't work. Now, I can't recall his name at the second, but you know who I'm talking. I think it begins with an N. Trickle-down economics. But anyway, somebody can look that up. But you see, and that's the first thing they'll say is that, well, this is what was going to happen. You knew gas was going to go up when the Democrats got in. You knew the food was going to go up because they're giving out all this money. And then they fail to say, well, you know, folks had to quarantine. And if you work at a job by the hour, you get paid by the hour. Guess what? You just lost weeks and weeks of wages if you kept getting sick. They keep putting you out there like, well, you have to go to work. You got called back to work. Okay, I keep going back to work, and I keep getting COVID. And I keep being sick. Then you tell me I have to quarantine. So that there's a reason that money's out there. But it is good. Come on. People have been just underpaid now since we were young men, young people, you know. And this, you know, like I said, folks who didn't, if you didn't go to college, you can get a Pell Grant. You don't understand. You used to be able to get through. Who the hell can send their kids to college now?
Yeah, that's a big knot.
See, and that's a problem. That means they're not going to get the information they need to make good decisions. You know? So, anyway.
No, I get it. And let me just add one more thing to our little list here. with all the Afghanistan stuff going on over the weekend and the hand-wringing and pearl-clutching and the oh-my-godding, You know what I'd like most out of all of this? I mean, I'm being a little selfish, but I would like and it's not just on my behalf. It's every, it's, you know, it's Malloy. It's, you know, all of us who were there when this shitstorm started and said, you know how this is going to end, right? We're going to pull out. The Taliban's going to come back and start lopping heads off, you know, have mass head loppings in soccer stadiums again. And, you know, the warm-up act will be, you know, whipping the backs of some women bloody. It is exactly what's going to, it won't matter if it's a Republican president or a Democrat president. When we're out, and that's exactly what's going to happen. I would like for the freaking multimillionaires who write snotty op-eds for things, outfits like the New York Times to say, well, we were wrong again, but the checks are going to keep clearing. But we'd like to at least take note that a whole bunch of progressive people were out there for the last 20 years going, you know what's going to happen, don't you? I mean, they predicted it at day one. And you know, maybe we should listen to them once in a while. Oh, but fuck no, that's never going to happen, Todd.
Well,
but it should.
You know, it should. And I was able to hear most of that speech by the president today, and I was so...
I thought he was presidential as fuck.
I gave A+. Hey, listen, he knocked that shit out of the fucking park. Anybody who says otherwise, they weren't paying attention.
And then that little shitbird has the nerve to send out a note saying,
you know, somebody should ask Biden if they can find him.
Look.
Motherfucker, he lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They, you know what? He, at his age, he'd fuck them up. You know,
see if I Wanka can find that address for you on Dr. Google, Donnie.
He explained. I mean, that was perfect. That was perfect. The delivery was perfect. The messaging was perfect. And he walked out. That's exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, it was there. I thought there was everything but a mic drop.
Well, look. I mean, honestly, he told the truth. That's the thing. People don't like the truth. Your facts and feelings are different things. Look, I'm just saying, anybody, look, we're old enough to understand it. No matter when you're going to pull out, it's always going to be messy. Now, my only criticism would be with the folks that helped us. But that's a sketchy issue. You know, that's difficult. We don't know. Remember.
Why wasn't it Whit Nero bringing him out? He's the one that announced we were leaving.
Wait a minute. Well, all right, let me explain this. Foggy Bottom was eviscerated. You know how long it takes.
Absolutely.
To get it, you can get it, you know. So, you know, we had to look. This is what I'm saying. This is not what you're going to get on regular radio. This is not, that's the backstory that you're not going to get. There's a reason that shit happened. Remember, the last guy fired a bunch of critical federal workers and then put his cronies in who were unqualified and all grifty and shitty, you know. And I'm being very casual with my speech.
It's almost like there's too much to cover. I mean, I don't know if you noticed this, but you know, while the for-profit media were wringing hands and clutching pearls, the Proud Boys went ape shit in L.A. over the weekend.
See, I missed that.
And you know, you'd think by now we know who the Proud Boys are. Was the LAPD on there waiting? No, they had to come squealing up in there. Yeah, right.
You know why?
Hey, Todd. They came rolling up. There was that. Then there was the jackass who. Died, you know, Tennessee, and another right-wing hate preacher, vaccine denier, mask hole, COVID idiot, spreadneck. Well, he went home to be with Jesus, and he was not hit by a bus either. I'm talking about an old coot by the name of Jimmy DeYoung Sr. He preached his last sermon at Harrison's Church of the Highlands, and then he went into the hospital on August 7th, and he came out toes first.
Oh, really?
And by the way, you've been awarded a cowbell. That's from Darlene.
Thank you.
Subtle but excellent metaphor, Darlene notes. Whenever you pull out, it's going to be messy. Damn how he slipped that in there. And a cowbell for Darlene for... slipping that in there. Yeah.
That's the truth. Because really what I mean, that's funny though. That is, of course, it's funny. But what I really meant is that, just like the president said, no time is a good time. Enough is enough. And like he said, look, if they're not fighting for themselves, what the hell else can we do? Now they've had, we've given them all the equipment, everything. But see, and like Lamar was saying, we hate to try to be judgmental about folk, but when they blew up that facade, you know, with the Buddha on it, the way they treat women, I mean, at some point there is right and wrong. I'm not, you know, so we have, and not only that, this is just a fact. They lie, just like we lie to each other in our politics. They really lie. They lie to each other. The way they do business is different. But they definitely have always lied to farmers.
Hey, Todd Carroll's calling in. I got to roll, brother.
All right, got to go.
Later. Right. Bye now.
See you later. All right.
And there she is. There she is, the one and only Carol Baker. Oh, my God, it has been too long.
Damn, that was quick. Can you hear me?
Oh, I got you. You sound great.
Awesome. Well, Lord knows I feel great. It's been a fun day in the glamorous world of roofing.
You had to go out and save your crew. Oh, my God.
It wouldn't be the first time.
That's how long have you been there now?
It's been almost 7 years.
God almighty.
Anna.
Yeah, we do go back a ways, don't we?
We really do. The boss laughed. He's like, I gotta send a white person and you're it.
and what was it? A four centimeter paint chip?
Yeah, it was a 4-centimeter scuff that went down on his siding that I can probably take off with Dawn dishwashing liquid and water. The hammering, the sound of the hammering. And I just looked at him and I said, well, sugar, you know, we tried Nerf hammers and we just can't get the nails in. And that's when the cop just burst out laughing. And it was like, all right. And he was like, he just gave me kind of this snide look. But the cop was like, look, this lady couldn't be any nicer to you about it. Your houses are 3 feet apart. There's just so much they can do.
God bless them. At least you got one of the good ones, I guess.
Oh, you know, when gray-haired white lady shows up with this syrupy sweet attitude.
And you do know how to do that so well. There's a boiling cauldron of fuck you under the surface, but
I think the cops knew it too.
My God. So you have been locked down since this whole thing started.
Since March 9th of 2020.
And you have hung on to your sanity and saved a young life.
Yeah. You know.
Just another day, you know, for the Queen of the Minions.
Just one that ends in a Y.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean you've been suffering fools gladly, Carol.
No, because even I have to have a little fun.
But, so tell us a little bit about life in, what's Amaskistan?
Yeah, what's Amaskistan? That's good. You see, you get 10 miles out of Kansas City, and you may as well be in Alabama. So they have a mask mandate in Kansas City that went into effect about maybe 10 days ago, and you're not supposed to be within 6 feet of anybody or inside any store. And I am absolutely stunned at the number of people who have medical conditions that makes them so frail that they simply cannot wear a mask.
I can't breathe.
They can't tell you about it because it's a secret. And it violates the HIPAA, which it doesn't.
No.
And it's amazing that they know about HIPAA, but they don't know about, you know, how masks work. But because I think HIPAA is a lot more complicated. But
my eyes crossed just trying to read the disclosure at the doctor's office.
Oh, I know. And honestly, and if it isn't that, then there's some religion that they belong to. And, you know, by God, they don't have to tell you what that religion is. And so I just stand back and laugh and go, so you're making shit up because you don't want to wear one?
Bingo.
And I usually get a snide look and a mind your own fucking business. And I'm like, hey, I'm an old lady. I don't give a shit anymore.
It is, you know, my business.
It just comes right down to, you know, when you get to a certain age, I've got a shirt that says, do I look like I give a fuck? And
you wear it proudly.
Behold the fields in which I sown my fucks. And see there are none.
And yea, verily, see that it lieth barren.
Oh, it do, just like the old lady.
Jesus, hold on. Yeah, it's been too long. So, have you? I mean, you've been pretty much around. I'm just wondering, maybe if you've swung out past the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club and Trailer Court, and maybe if there's any vacancies out there now that, you know, the COVIDiots might be
this is where
exiting the planet.
The Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park is where What's-A-Mask-A-Stan and Dumb Buck-A-Stan meet. And thou shalt not go there.
If thou doth not want the Rona.
No, because everyone there is descended from Inbredistan.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus Christ. So y'all had a big concert there out to the Arrowhead Stadium yesterday, I heard?
Oh, no, it was a week ago last night.
Oh, a week ago. I'm sorry. So the Rona's having a little better time getting around now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, 74,000 people packed into Arrowhead Stadium. They had a free clinic there where you could get your vaccine, and they would upgrade you to the premium front row, I can touch Garth seats, and 35 people got vaccinated.
All of 35?
All 35 out of 74,000. Given that the vaccination rate in Jackson County and Missouri as a whole is somewhere around 40%, that would mean that about 40,000 people in there were not wearing masks, which were encouraged, but not mandated.
Right.
We're not wearing masks and did not take advantage of a free vaccine.
You know, that's pandemic levels of stupidity, Carol.
Well, if I want to listen to Garth, God made Spotify.
Well, exactly. But, you know, it's interesting when I saw you mentioning that Garth Brooks concert. I was just a little bit ago reading an article about how this huge rift has opened up in country music.
Mm-hmm.
Between the Garth Brookses, who were like, well, you know, if y'all want to give me the Rona, that's all right. Maybe I'll give it to you. Versus people like, and I have so much respect for him, Jason Isbell, who has said, anywhere I play, you ain't getting through the door without you either show your shot record or you show a recent negative test.
Yep.
And so he's being attacked. You know, by people. You know, I loved your music before you got political.
Really? The virus knows whether you're a Democrat or a Republican?
Yeah, it's inscrutable that way, Carol.
Oh, man. Damn Chinese viruses.
But, you know, Stevie Nicks canceled an entire tour because nobody would cooperate.
I saw. And I don't blame her.
Me neither. I mean, she's part of she's part of the endangered class. And I gotta tell you, Carol, I'm scared to damn death because I have to travel next week.
I know.
And I am going to the least vaccinated place in the nation.
You're going to Alabama?
Yes.
Damn.
I know.
I mean, there has been a time or two where I had to go to the office last week to notarize some papers for the boss, and I had gloves on and double masked and everything else. And I said, you're all wearing masks or I'm not coming in. And let me tell you something. You never saw so many masks get slapped on a bunch of Mexicans in your life. It's amazing what happens when you draw the line.
Yeah, because Auntie Carol drew the line.
That's right. But I talked to the boss and I was like, you know, we were just getting ready to have me come back into the office. And I said, and here this comes. And now there's the Lambda variant out in California.
Oh, good. It's made it from Peru to California. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, 152 cases as of a couple days ago, and I was like, well, you know, when it gets to the Zeta variant and there's three people left on Earth and me and Cletus are two of them, I guess the cockroaches are going to take over.
Well, you know, I've long predicted that eventually the world will be ruled by a race of six-foot-tall sentient cockroaches who will worship us as gods.
Are you kidding? They'll be stomping us under their feet.
You ever seen the fly get even?
Exactly. Because we'll be the infestation by then.
So, I mean, when you... Because I know several people who live out in your general area, and we've got dear friends of the program who live in places like Springfield.
Which is where Vaughn's nephew lives.
Oh, beautiful.
And both of Adam's children now have COVID. The youngest is 6 months old, and the oldest one is three.
And they've got it.
And they have it.
And let me guess, the mom and dad have it, the two babies have it, and the hospitals, meanwhile, are over-freaking-whelmed.
Oh, they can't go to the hospital. Kansas City hospitals are turning ambulances away with heart attack victims. And car crash victims.
Where do they go?
Urgent care. They go to the nearest urgent care facility, and if they can save your life until they can find some place to send you, then you live, and if they can't, you die.
So I know some of this just sounds brutal, but pandemics cause brutal choices to have to be made. What, I mean, I got two stories here. I was talking to Todd in South Carolina, Stan, about one of them. Pastor Jimmy DeYoung Sr., who's been preaching against the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Well, they put him in a hospital bed on August the 7th, and he has since gone home to Jesus and opened up a bed. But he was sitting there taking up a bed in Chattanooga, Tennessee, because he wouldn't get a goddamn vaccine.
Yeah.
And who knows how many people who, you know, wanted the vaccine or got the vaccine might have needed that. Now, in my idea of triage, Jimmy DeYoung Sr. goes begging. How about you?
Oh, I'm with you. I think if you have declined the vaccine and refused to wear a mask, then you've made the decision that it's between you and God and you're on your own. I don't think you're entitled to professional medical care that you're never going to pay for, that I have to.
And so that's Tennessee. And then along comes from Texas, because of course, Pastor Daryl Boone of the Life Point Church. Mm-hmm. Well, he died off because he refused to get the vaccine.
Well, they just need to change the name, because that's just not truth in advertising.
No, that's the Death Point Church.
There you go. There you go.
Let's see. Oh, by the way, and we had the story a couple of weeks ago of a pastor, brother, minister who from Talabama, who went out and spoke at a youth camp in Oklahoma. And to quote that great Christian leader from Southern California, Jesse Lee Peterson, he dead.
He dead.
He dead.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, and he had said, and then there's Irvin Baxter out in Texas. He died after preaching that COVID-19 was punishment for having sexy time without being in a Christian marriage between one man and one woman.
Okay.
Seems really, really kind of that's terrible aim, you know, for the most powerful force in the universe. I mean, Jesus.
Pretty much.
So,
and listen, yeah. I'm a girl who follows God on Twitter, and God is just calling bullshit on this.
Yeah, he ain't having none of this.
He is not. So,
and he's a lot more fun on Twitter than he is, like, in, you know, the Bible.
Well, he is. Satan follows me on Twitter too. He's a lot of fun though.
Yeah, he's a real hoot.
He is.
Follows you?
Oh yeah, Satan follows me on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, yes, I would.
Well, come on. There's a lot to love here. I've already purchased my two-seater hand basket, custom made with the cup holders and the ashtray.
And you're pedaling madly away, right?
Goddamn right. As I fire up another one.
At a girl, you know, I yesterday was my 11-month anniversary without a cigarette.
I saw that.
And just blows my mind. Now, I'm still nicotine addicted because I'm using those awful little pouches, but I got the handle. You know how it is with the handling a cigarette? That's as much of a habit as the nicotine is.
Yeah.
I got that one licked, and I got to do the nicotine next, and I got to start on that soon, but
that's good.
But, you know, I understand because, you know, there are moments.
I figure, you know, I've been locked in a house with a 14-year-old boy for about 18 months, so I figure it's either handle a cigarette or handle a neck, one of the two.
Neck handling. Boy, yeah. Well, how is life with the your 14-year-old protege, Carla?
The young Cleti?
Yes.
He's doing just fine. He's such a good kid. Oh, damn it. Well, I'm going to shut that right off.
But, I mean, I know you've got, like, medical fights that you would have to fight for him, whether he was on, whether COVID was here or not. And you've about gone toe-to-toe with UPS a couple of times, haven't you?
I have gone toe-to-toe with UPS, who have ruined his growth hormone. And he has been... He went from being scheduled for an open-heart surgery to have a valve repaired to it being considered a, what did they call it?
Elective?
An elective surgery.
Oh, and Jesus, like, that's elective now?
Yeah.
Greatest country in the history of the world on earth now today, forever in the universe under God, Carol, I'm telling you.
Just when things were starting to open up, we were scheduled, and then this hit, and guess what? He has been denied, and that's fine, because I wouldn't set foot in a hospital with that child to save my life, because they couldn't do it. So, there we are.
But he's maintaining a good attitude, and so you're homeschooling again, right?
I am homeschooling. He's just started his third week.
How's he handling that? I mean, does he miss, like, human interaction, or does the fact that he lives with you and deals with real life, honest to God, no kidding facts?
He really does. And, you know, the good part is that he wandered in this morning, and, you know, we had a brief conversation in between customer phone calls and the cops, and he wanted to know how geodes were made and what they were, and I showed him how they were found and what to expect and all the different kinds that there were. And he looked at me and he's like, how do you know all this? And I said, because I went to school.
Like you will someday.
And he was like, God damn it, Carla. He goes, you got to keep rubbing that in.
Yeah, but it seems obvious that it's beginning to stick.
It is beginning to stick. And he's taking Spanish lessons and, I can ask him what any word means, and he just about knows that. He's been around us talking long enough that he can almost nail what we're talking about, even though he doesn't get the finer points of it. But now he's starting to really kind of get it.
And he's getting it in that machine gun Spanish that, you know.
They talk too fast for me. Even today, they talk too fast for me, especially in that dialect. Now, I've been around it for, 7 years? I pretty much got it mastered, but they have to talk slowly to me because, you know, I'm old and feeble and...
Female.
And, hey.
I mean, just, you know, mirroring the culture, that's all.
Yeah.
So, you know, because this country is so... sunk in on, you know, thinking that we're the only people on the planet. What do you hear via the wonderful people you work with? And they are wonderful people, you know.
They are wonderful guys.
What's it doing in Mexico?
It is spreading in Mexico, but the good thing is that the village where the boss and most of the guys are from, I call them the village people. They don't know how funny that is. They're from this little village and way up in the mountains. And it's quite an ordeal to get there. And it's very isolated, which is good because it protects these people. Now, pretty much everything that they need by way of, you know, commodities has to come from Xilitla, which is a major tourist area. So they have a couple of people in the village that are vaccinated who, I'm getting this whooshing sound on here. Can you hear it?
I don't hear it. It might be the noise gate on my mic.
Oh, okay.
It does that sometimes when it's trying to chill out the air conditioner.
I got it, because it did sound like the AC. So what they do is they have a couple of people who are kind of assigned from the village to go to the nearest city, which is about 30 miles away, and they pretty much get all the supplies and bring it back to the village. And these guys double mask and do everything, and they just bring truckloads of stuff back to the village and distribute it, and it's really kept them safe and healthy.
And if you know, that is beautiful in its own right.
Well, they figured it out that they want to remain isolated from the outside world for now, but it's such a kind of really beautiful area, and it's all agricultural, and these people have spent a life being isolated for the most part from the world. So it's not a big deal to them. They're just careful because they don't want this spread all over this little village of, you know, just a few hundred people. And everybody knows everybody. And, you know, you could tell everybody who's ever worked for the boss man because they live in the nice houses in town. Everybody else has, you know, basically huts with dirt floors and three walls and part of a ceiling. And that's how they live. But they're just very humble, salt of the earth kind of people, and they just work hard for everything that they have. And it's a wonderful place, and it's my haven when I need to get away from the world.
Oh, I saw those photos from a couple of years back, and it just my blood pressure fell like 15 points just looking at them.
Oh, it does.
The springs and the pools and the greenery of the tree. Oh my God, it was gorgeous. And that's what most of America doesn't think about, that because everything south of the Rio Grande to the vast majority of America is just one great big desert until you get to Panama.
Exactly. But they talk about, yeah, but this is like a, what do they call it? It's a certain type of a jungle. It's something about the climate there where it's not really like a full jungle, but it's not desert, and it's not like the lowlands. It's not rocks and dirt like the rest of the place. And I mean, it's just so lush and beautiful. And as you go further up into the mountains, it's even more remote and more beautiful. And I've never...
Is that the Sierra Madre Occidental or Oriental?
No, Occidental.
Oh, my. So, I mean, are they related to the Rarimuri people?
No, they're the Huasteca people.
Okay.
And because, you know, the dialect will change depending upon what tribes, you know, inhabited the area. And this particular dialect is a little tricky to learn the nuances of, but I've pretty much gotten the hang of it. They understand me when I talk to them. And if I say something wrong, they don't say anything. They're like, I get it. Why correct her? You know, unlike Americans.
Who right. Yeah. Who just say it loud, more loudly.
Speak English. You're in America. You know?
Yeah. Where Spanish was spoken long before English ever was. Never mind.
Well, indeed. But when you go down there, they don't judge me because I'm an American. I mean, these people, literally a stranger will throw their door open to you and invite you in. And it's the oddest thing. And I'm used to it now because I've spent so much time there. But it's just so incredibly lovely. And it's like, when things get really dark here, I just like close myself off and take my mind back there, and I'm okay because I realize that there are some really beautiful, kind people in this world. They just don't happen to be here.
Well, you know, you talk about them being isolated, Carol. Right when this whole thing was getting started, back when Nitwit Nero was turning it loose in the United States, West Virginia was the last state in the Union to report a case. And for a while, they were selling T-shirts that showed the outline of the state, and it said, Wild, Wonderful West Virginia, socially distancing since 1863. And on the back, it said, you stay in your holler, and I'll stay in mine. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more truth in what you were just talking about. Meanwhile, this morning, because, well, hillbillies, and yeah. I say that with a great deal of love, but you know where this is going.
I do.
School has just started here. And the kids are going to class in person. And the Fayette County Board of Education, Mirabile Dictu, actually said, you know, y'all need to be wearing masks in school.
Yeah.
And the kids are pretty much okay with it, but no. It was based on a recommendation from the Fayette County, West Virginia Health Department. So today there was a protest outside the Fayette County, West Virginia Health Department by Republicans, because libertarians, who you're infringing on my children's freedom by not letting them go get the disease and bring it home and killing granny with it.
Your kids don't give a shit. They'll do what they're told.
Yeah, they want to be in school. They really, really do.
They do.
And so one of the people who, a dear friend of mine who runs a lovely little business in town, organized, because she's so good at this, they've got a store that sits right on the corner of Main Street, and it's across the street from this asshole lawyer who is a Republican piece of shit.
Yeah.
And every time he puts up some sort of hateful, anti-LGBTQ, whatever, up goes her rainbow flag, fills up the whole window. And so when they announced, we're going to protest the Biden communism of the Fayette County Health Department making our children hide their faces from Jeebus. Well, when that announcement went out, she immediately organized a counter protest with a flash mob and a dance party, socially distanced dance party,
nice,
in front of the store.
I love it.
And
nicely done.
Yeah, well, it was very well played. I had stuff I had to do this morning, otherwise I'd planned on going. But there were pictures, and everybody literally was out dancing in the street, and everybody was 10 feet apart.
Masked.
And masked.
There you go.
And nobody was, nobody was fainting from lack of oxygen. I can't get my oxygen under this mask.
Well, that's because they're not getting it without the mask, clearly.
Right. Your brain has been deprived of oxygen for several decades now, right?
I would think. I mean, hypoxia is the only excuse I can think of for these morons. I don't get it. I feel like my frustration lies in the fact that I feel like we've sacrificed so much. I mean, how many years do I have left on this earth, Bob? How long do I have to stay locked in? Because these folks are so determined to let this go on and on. And the same people who have caused the spread are the ones not wearing the mask, who have never been inconvenienced by anything. And I'm still locked up to try and stay alive. So it's like, at what point do these assholes get told, you either mask up and vaccinate, or you're not fit to be among civil society? Why are their rights more important than our rights? Where's my ability to, if there's a public health problem like this, I guess I just don't understand why we can't enforce it with these people. I don't understand why their right to be free means that the rest of us aren't. Help me.
I'm kind of hard-pressed because the fact of the matter is individual rights begin with the idea of not infringing on someone's on those rights. But if you won't get a vaccine and you won't wear a mask, you are de facto infringing on me. And I'm not the bad guy for wanting you to stop infringing on my rights.
Exactly.
And your rights are not being infringed upon by asking you to wear a mask or get a vaccine. That's the bottom line. I heard one health professional today who said, you know, talking about healthcare professionals who don't get vaccinated, and she said, you know, we learned all these protocols back with the AIDS epidemic.
Yes.
At a time when we didn't know if that virus was spread via aerosol. And she said, and we were all terrified. Everybody was. And we have to get a flu vaccine every year, but all of a sudden you're drawing a line in the sand over this, when this is far more likely to kill you than the flu?
And what is it people wanted the people who were infected with this to do? They wanted everybody who was vulnerable or, you know, had certain lifestyle choices that they were making or whatever, to withdraw from civilized society for the good of everybody else. Isn't that right?
Pretty much, yeah.
So now that there's something out there that they could potentially be giving to everybody else, it's everybody else, because I'm hiding because I'm a sheep.
Yeah.
But
no.
Whatever. But it's like, I'm sorry. You know, if it was just me, you know what? I'd mask up and I'd have been out there the whole time. But I can't bring this home to this kid.
No. You fought to keep him alive in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's no exaggeration.
It's true. No one knows the struggles that I've really gone through with the healthcare system and with the insurance system and with the court system with this kid. And I'm the only one who got him off of all the psych drugs that he was on and obviously didn't need, because now he's just a normal little 14-year-old smartass.
Well, you're responsible in part for that. I mean, come on.
No, I didn't mean that didn't make me proud.
I know. But
I am proud of him.
You should.
This kid has, like, the most unbelievable wit of anybody I've ever met. I mean, he is my father reincarnated. His great-grandfather had been dead for, what, 40 years before the kid was even born? And it's like having my dad in the house with his non sequiturs and his one-liners. And sometimes I'll be halfway across the house before I'll realize what he said. I'll be like, son of a bitch.
I'm cut and just realized I'm bleeding now.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought I was good at this, but man, I mean, I can get him pretty much every time, but he kills me. He just slays me. And he makes me laugh so hard that it's too good not to share, which is why I love telling Cletus stories on Facebook.
Oh, I live for them. I live for them. Yeah. The first time I saw that he refers to you as Carla.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And his goddamn shirt, his goddamn it Carla shirt that he got for Christmas was like one of his most treasured things.
Carla.
Goddamn it, Carla. And then she made us these shirts that are like named to, hi, my name is. His says, hi, my name is Cletus. And then underneath that, it says, God damn it, Carla. And then I got one that says, I'm Carla.
Oh, that's beautiful. And, you know, I want all this over and done with so that brilliant little mind and that razor sharp little wit can get out in the world.
Because I think the world would benefit from having this kid out in it. I think the world needs that kind of wit and humor and really kind of sharp thinking. He is. He's a good little thinker. And I'm proud of that. I could not be more tickled with this kid. If every adult in the United States handled what he has gone through with the kind of sense of humor that he has, we would not be where we are at right now.
No, he is going to be. He's already a great little teenager. He's going to be a wonderful adult.
I think he is. I think he is.
I mean, you're giving him the start that he needs. Let me ask, how is your dear sister?
She's fine. She's doing well. You know, she's of course disabled, but she's hanging in there. She wants to come visit in the worst way, and she hasn't been out, so it's like I don't have any problems with her coming to the house. It's just it's 6 hours up to get her and 6 hours back, and you know, I'm sorry, but honey, at my age, I got to pee more often than that. So, you know, you have to stop in public restrooms, which are, you know, to me, giant fucking petri dishes.
Yeah, they stop and do the is the COVID in the air here tango. And bathrooms are worse than just about anywhere else because they're all enclosed, windowless, poorly ventilated spaces.
Exactly.
Emphasis on poorly ventilated.
Yeah, the last time I had to take him up to Iowa to go to the children's hospital up at Iowa City, I had to stop and get gas, and I was standing in line with two masks on and gloves. And some jerk behind me made some comment about, oh, he goes, I see we have a sheep in line. And I'm telling you, I turned around so fast, I stuck my finger in his face, and I didn't care if I was socially distancing or not. I said, let me tell you something, motherfucker. I said, I have a child in the car on his way to the children's hospital in Iowa City. If he gets this, he dies. And I said, do you really want to stand there and question my mothering skills? And everybody else in line started heckling him, and he just walked out. And by the time I got up to the counter, the cashier was crying, and then I felt bad. And I said, honey, it's okay. We're fine. We're fine. She goes, I just never saw anybody turn on somebody like that. And I said, well, you know, that's what moms are for.
You know? You may have emboldened and empowered another human being in that moment.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And I did stop at a, you know, just as it was looking like it was going to open up, I stopped at a Starbucks. Somebody, one of the realtors had given me a gift card because I had pulled off a miracle for her. And so I thought, oh, I'll stop at Starbucks and get something for me and Cletus. And he was in the car. And I was in there with two masks on and some guy behind me. And he was like, he goes, really? He goes, you have to wear a mask for a fake virus. And I said, well, you know what? I roof for a living, you know? He goes, have you had the vaccine? And I said, yes, I've had both of them. He goes, then why are you wearing a mask? And I said, I tear off roofs for a living. I've had a tetanus shot, but that doesn't mean I go down there and stomp on all the nails.
Oh, damn. That, you simply amaze me. You just amaze me. Because,
well, you know, I mean, it's common sense.
Right. You know, I'm toilet trained, but I don't, you know, I don't piss my pants for the fun of it.
Yeah. But honestly, I mean, are we talking about smallpox in the news? Are we talking about chickenpox?
Polio? Anybody?
Polio? Anybody? Are we talking about that? No. And why? Because we've all but eradicated it with vaccines.
And that's what this one nurse was talking about earlier today that I heard. She said, you know, we've done all this. She said, I got nothing left to blame except the internet.
It's true.
And I continue to be amazed by the fact that there are 12 people, there are 12 damn people who are spreading the vast majority of this toxic, deadly, bilious horseshit.
Yep.
And we can't do anything about them because we've got this fetishized approach to free speech when every last one of them is yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Yep.
And four of them, they broke it out, four of them, three of them are doctors of osteopathy. And one of them is, oh, I don't know, maybe an MD, I'm not sure. But, you know, then there's eight others, and, you know, sadly, you know, Bobby Kennedy Jr. is one of them.
I know.
Used to be a hero, not a hero anymore. And I guess it's a good dollar. Is it like everything else in America, Carol? Are these people willing to subject other people to death by stupidity because it's a good dollar for them? Is that all that it is? Just crass commercial capitalism?
Sure. Because greed is good.
Damn, I know. Well, you've been awarded a cowbell for I don't stomp. I've got a tetanus shot, but I don't run around stomping rusty nails. So, yeah. That,
you know, it's just there comes a point in time where I'm not going to be shamed for wearing a mask. I am not going to be told how to mother my child, and I will not be forced back into a workplace where I can't feel safe. I've grown accustomed to having a bathroom 3 feet away from my desk. I don't have to rush home at noon to take care of the dog. Cat Stevens now shares the throne with me here. So I'm not the boss of him, but he's not the boss of me either. And everything seems to be just hunky-dory fine. You know, I got the boy a dog. He's happy.
Oh, I've seen the pup. And the pup's family, for that matter. They came to visit, right?
Yes, yes. The
Basset lady. Hounds?
Yes, Gus the Basset Hound. And his mother and his two sisters came to visit. And I'm telling you, it was so fun to have them here for a week. They played out in the backyard, and then they would come in and become four speed bumps. They don't bother anything. They don't bark. They don't nothing. They're just happy to be with you. And Gus was a little sad when they went home, but we had a movie night that night right after they left, and he got to snuggle up in Mom's bed, which he never does because, you know, my room is the cat kingdom. And he got to snuggle up in bed in between us, and we watched a movie, and, you know, we try to have a movie night once a week. And I introduced him to the classics. Last night we watched Secondhand Lions, which...
Oh, my. Yeah, that's a beautiful one.
Well, it's a great story about a kid who's kind of a throwaway and finding people who love him for who he is. And I thought maybe that would be a good message for him. Because I'm a mom.
I think it was. I think it was a great message.
He loved it. He absolutely loved that. He laughed and laughed and laughed. At the end, I could see him trying not to cry. But it was a great story. But yeah, I've introduced him to Young Frankenstein and the Monty Python movies and Princess Bride and all the classics. You know, we're working our way through them.
That's fantastic. Because, you know, when you introduce a 14-year-old to Monty Python, they're never going to get free of that, ever.
No, they're not. Run away! Run away! We say that constantly.
I told him we've already got one.
Yes, he's a fan. He's a huge fan. So, yeah, I think the good part is that I've had an opportunity to spend some quality time with him that I wouldn't have had. And he has a greater understanding of why I make some of the decisions I made. And he understands sacrifice. And he knows that he's sacrificing too, but that he has been very well rewarded for it.
How does he, obviously he hears Mom talking about the mask holes and the spread necks. How has he responded to that? I mean, is he as furious as you are?
He thinks they are the dumbest knuckle draggers that walk the earth. And he said, you know what? I'm 14 years old. He goes, I'm going to wait these sons of bitches out. And when they're dead, I'll be free. And he said, and you know what? In the grand scheme of things, he goes, this isn't so bad. This isn't a bad place. It's not like we live down in the hood anymore.
No, and the fact of the matter is, that's the whole thing about this pandemic. It's not like anybody has been asked to. Well, I mean, when we began to see how the rest of the country was responding, you know, I thought back to the era of my parents. you know, my dad out bobbing around in the belly of an aircraft carrier in the South Pacific, wondering if there was a torpedo headed toward him every minute of his life for, you know, 2.5 years.
Sure.
And, you know, my mom back here where they were, you know, they were pulling heavy blackout curtains on the high school because you never knew when the Nazis were going to, you know, bomb Fayette County, West Virginia.
Of course.
You know, rationing, ration cards, no tires, 4 gallons of gasoline. There were no, I mean, I'm not aware of any massive protests of people saying, you know, fuck my country.
No, because they don't want what's best for the country. They've come to believe that all of this is a communist attack by the libtards to make them conform to our way of thinking. And it's like, politics aside, people, the fucking virus does not know whether you were a Democrat or a Republican.
No.
It just lives to replicate.
It's not even fully alive.
No, and you're doing your best to make sure it finds as many hosts as possible to become bigger, meaner, and stronger. And if you'll just sacrifice in the short term, we all benefit in the long term. But nope. I'm telling you, I never expected to turn back and go the other way. But here we are. But I'm not going to be sad about it. I'm not going to.
No.
I'm not. I'm just so determined to get through this. And, you know, I found this house and we spent a month working all through the night, overnight for 30 days and turned this into the cutest little
place. Oh, I've seen the pictures. It's just gorgeous.
The transformation is just phenomenal. And I'm proud of myself for that one.
You have a right to be.
I don't say that very often, but I am really proud of myself.
Well, no, you've got that salt of the earth, humble, Midwestern, you know. No, pat yourself on the back frequently.
Well, I would, but I have such a bursitis in this right shoulder that I just carry.
Well, that's why you need a mustard plaster for that lumbago.
I know. Oh, I forgot about my lumbago. But I'd like a little cream cheese with my lumbago.
Exactly.
But after we got this all done, he told me, he said, I have never had a choice as to where I wanted to live before. And you let me choose my own room. And he said, I love it here. And I think that this move has been kind of the turning point for him having the right attitude for it. But we had lived here less than 100 days. And the guy that I rented it from said, Carol, the real estate market's so hot, we have to sell your house. And I was like, well, you're going to have a fun time selling it with me living in it forever. So you have a choice. You can either sell it to me or you're not going to sell it. And he's like, well, this is what we're asking for. And I said, nope, I'm not going to give you that. I said, I'm going to give you this. And I'm going to give you this percentage of interest, and I'm going to give it to you for this many years, and you're going to give me a contract for deed. And I will put enough money down to make this worth your while, and then we're just going to go on and be happy friends. And he goes, I got to talk to my wife, Jesse, and his partner, and he's like, oh, I'll have to get back to you. I said, I'll be waiting. You know, I just did that calm, assured, I know I'm going to get my way thing. And he came back and he's like, well, okay, I close next Monday.
That's so awesomely exciting.
It is. And now in 6 years, this house will be paid off.
That's exquisite.
And when I die, Cletus will have a home for the rest of his life that he never has to make a payment on. And
you're teaching him how to care for it. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes, I'm making him participate in the maintenance because I haven't bothered these guys for anything. Anything that was broken or needed fixed, we've taken apart and fixed ourselves. And or I've gotten help from one of the guys at the shop. There was a piece of wood rot over the garage and the flashing fell off. And there was a day when Porfirio didn't have anything to do and I called the boss man, and I said, can the repair guy come over to my house and look at this? He had it fixed in 40 minutes.
Oh, geez.
And it's just, yeah, and Guadalupe fixed my garage door that wouldn't go up and down. It was a simple thing of putting a wire in there to make it catch. And
you're surrounded by angels.
The little things of,
I mean,
you're not kidding.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are religiously skeptical, absolutely, but, you know, angels can be just everyday human beings. And
on the other hand,
yeah.
On the other hand, when the cops show up, I'm the first one there. So, do they help me out with things? Damn right they do.
And so do you. Well, you know, goodness, I like to think that goodness finds its own place in the universe.
I think it will, but I just want this to be a home that's filled with, I just want the home to be a sanctuary. I want to fill it with love. I want it to be a welcoming place.
And happiness and a little bit of snark.
Oh, lots of snark. Lots of snark. Because, you know, everything in this house comes with a side of snark. It's what keeps us sane. Is us sassing one another all day long. It helps. You'd be shocked, because he knows when I have a certain look on my face or when I say something in a certain tone, this is serious time.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, he'll bring coffee in and he'll come in and he'll drop a hot cup of coffee on my desk and he'll go, here, because I don't want to die today. Well, thank you, son. I appreciate that. You know, he has...
You've made it to tomorrow.
You probably are going to see tomorrow there, Skippy. So, he's a good kid.
We should make clear that there was, you know, there were ways where he doesn't wind up a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you pretty much are the difference there.
Right, because he's scared of what happens if he steps out of line. Hey, I'm as fun as they come. But... You know, kid, don't fuck with me. Because when mama ain't happy,
nobody's happy.
You're going to find out just how unhappy you can get.
So, you know, we've covered a lot in the course of this conversation, Carol. But I started the program, being Moran Monday and all, talking about, you know, the whole Afghanistan thing. And, you know, watching the for-profit media, you know, blame Joe Biden.
Right, because they all fucking forget that we lost this war a long god before it ever started.
Yeah, why is it Fareed Zakaria has to be the one who says that instead of like the, you know,
instead of Jake Tapper or
yeah, right.
I don't know.
Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, whatever.
We lost this war when we started it.
We have the ability to remember our past like my mother in her 22nd year of Alzheimer's. And I'm not kidding. They don't remember. All of a sudden, nobody remembers the death camp and that he turned loose 5,000 Taliban soldiers and right. Then said he wanted everybody out of there by May. And what I object to is how long it has taken them to get the translators and all the people who helped us out, because it's rapidly approaching the time when it's that last helicopter leaving Saigon with people hanging off.
We kind of had that this weekend with the C-130.
I know.
And
that frustrates me.
Yeah.
Because we've had time to get this done in the last 6 months. We knew this was coming. But as far as blaming Biden, I'm sorry, but the second the Supreme Court overturned the election and made Bush the president.
Yeah, that's that Bush moment.
Too, that's kind of the moment. So,
you know, that being the case, let's add that to the things that go on Sandra Day O'Connor's headstone.
Yes, absolutely. And she said she regretted it, but, you know, that in 50 cents will... You know, get you thrown out if you ask for a cup of coffee.
Exactly. That and $6.75 will get you a bad cup of coffee.
Yeah, pretty much. But truly, you know, it was It was overturning that election. It was mission accomplished. It was the Patriot Act. It was weapons of mass destruction, invading the wrong country, accusing the wrong people of 9/11. When it, how many Saudis were part of that? All but what, one?
That would be 15 Saudis and I think 4 Egyptians. And then the guy who missed the plane.
Exactly. So why aren't the Saudis responsible? And let's
because they're
about,
our partners in peace, right?
Ask Jamal Khashoggi.
Yeah. Maybe if we'd taught them some... And, you know, I'm anti-war, Carol. But maybe if we'd taught them some manners after 9/11... they wouldn't have felt so free and easy to go and chop up a permanent U.S. resident journalist into, you know, chutney.
Exactly. And I don't think it's too late.
No, it's not. And but then again, we went over this, I guess, maybe Friday. You know, the entire history of American foreign policy in the Middle East is just, it's a history of. Of avoidable fuck-ups.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
if a mom in Kansas City and a hillbilly in West Virginia can sort this shit out, what are they doing with their time in the Pentagon and down at CIA headquarters? I said at the beginning of the program, those are the SOBs that I want to see brought out and no, because. What kind of twit with a bunch of hardware jewelry on their shoulder boards says no, it was definitely not going to fall to the Taliban, not definitely not. Yeah, okay, General Rain Man. It was bound to happen. It had to happen. There's no way it didn't happen.
We knew. Those of us who understand history knew that this was coming. The Soviets spent 20 years in Afghanistan before they finally gave up and went home. And now, the Death Yam, who handed everything over to them, who wanted us pulled out, where's the Afghan army? What are they protecting? The Russian embassy? They're protecting the Russian embassy.
If I was a Russian in the Russian embassy, I wouldn't be feeling too secure because those fuckers can throw down a rifle with real aplomb.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even have to be shot at. They just have to hear the word Taliban, and then they shit their pants and run.
Bob, there's no... I am of the belief that Americans just can't learn. For the most part. Some of us can. But, you know, we're that minority of people who aren't worthy of being leaders. You know? Because of, you know, being women and or trans or whatever, you know, we're not fit to lead.
No. It's all those hormones.
Yeah, because you know, I can't be trusted because you know I get hysterical sometimes. You've seen it.
Oh well, sure. I mean, yeah. Even that word hysteria. Jesus Christ. I know. But really, I mean, yeah. I guess you just get lost in your own bubble. In the Pentagon, and you believe that, but you know that we had a CIA presence in Afghanistan that was literally a small army.
Oh yes.
And none of them saw the handwriting on the wall. I mean, I think there needs to be something along the lines of a church commission. And how many times do they have to fuck up before we kind of say, you know, we're paying a lot for the CIA and. Not getting a lot of bang for our buck. Remember when Pakistan just sort of out in the open developed a nuclear weapon and the CIA said, shit, didn't see that coming. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not exactly an agency with a long and distinguished history of getting shit right. I mean, they're kind of the Washington Generals of covert ops.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we have never gotten it right.
I mean, somebody asked the Mossad, hey, did you guys see this coming? Oh, sure, we saw this coming a long way back.
Oh, yeah. 20 years ago, I saw it coming.
You know, every secret police outfit from Saudi Arabia to Qatar to, you know, to the UAE. I mean, they saw it coming. The Pakistanis not only saw it coming, they helped it happen. Some friends.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so maybe, you know, I'm sure there's a lesson to be learned here. Do I expect us to learn it, Carol? Nah.
No.
No, because we're going to do, you know, I think it was Ron and Raleigh who said at the beginning of the program, look for us to go and fuck up Peru next, because they done elected a socialist.
Is there money to be made by the military-industrial complex by doing so?
You're damn right.
Contractors? Well, then.
You know, we tried it in Venezuela and got caught.
Sweet ass. Yeah, you can bet your ass that's where we'll be.
And
if we're not already there.
And, you know, meanwhile, poor Haiti gets hit by a hurricane and an earthquake.
Yeah, but those are just black people.
Right. Wrong colors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It gets embarrassing sometimes, you know? It does.
Hell yeah. If there was, there's, like, everything about me exudes American from the way that I look. I could never pretend to be something else.
Well, I mean, you could say A a lot and be a Canadian.
Ooh. Ooh.
You got that whole Midwestern thing going on with your speech, so, you know.
I know, but I have to learn to say, what is it? Come on, Kellison, where are you? A boot.
A boot, yes, a boot.
I learned to say a boot. A boot and A. A?
and by the best snowblower known to man. Or woman.
That's true. And fuck all. That's another Canadianism. You know, he doesn't know fuck all.
How do we get back to talking about Trump again? Well, I just love you to pieces, and it had been so long since we had talked. I wanted us to have some time together, and it has absolutely been magic, Carol. Please don't be such a stranger. I know you're busier than a one-armed paper hanger. But
man in a butt-kicking contest.
Yeah, but you know, well, wander by from time to time.
I will. It's my busy season right now.
Oh, and, sure.
You know, in the early. Late winter and early spring, it was figuring out where we were going to live. And then the roofing season started. And it doesn't really end here until, like, late October, early November. And if the weather holds up, you know, and that...
Yeah, you got, maybe 2 months where the snow flies now that you, you know...
And that's maybe. We've had winters here that never really got cold and we never really got snow. And we worked them. All through, I mean, granted, it wasn't like summer, but, I mean, I kept the guys busy. So, it's just a matter of, and honestly, I could even work through all that, but, you know, when you get a kid and you're homeschooling and, you know, you're trying to mow the lawn and do the laundry and cook meals, because can you believe they want me to feed him every day?
Every day? Really? I mean, and let's see, Midwestern boy, 14 years old, stomach that walks on two legs.
Hollow legs, motherfucker. Goddamn.
Yeah, I saw your food porn that you sent last night, and that just made me fit to cry.
He's to the point that this kid was so picky when I got him, he wouldn't eat anything but fried chicken, and he won't eat mashed potatoes, but... I have slowly introduced things into his diet, and last night I made the best burrito. I made burritos.
Oh, those things were beautiful.
And I made a rotel with the queso blanco Velveeta and rotel's cheese sauce and melted that down and poured that over the top and then put Mexi-Melt cheese over that and baked it for 20 minutes and then broiled it for a minute and a half.
And made it all gooey and bubbly and crispy and brown on the top, yeah.
But you got to char the cheese.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, he inhaled it. He loves my cheese.
Oh, I just saw that Velveeta queso blanco in the store not 2 weeks ago, and my life changed.
I didn't know they made it.
Me either.
And then my friend Missy came with all of her dogs, and she was like, oh, you got to get this. And I was like, they make it? And I, sure enough, pulled up my Hy-Vee because they deliver my groceries and have for a year and a half, and there it was. And I'm like, oh, that's a $7 investment I can go with for
yes.
a two-pound loaf.
And it doesn't taste like regular Velveeta.
No.
Totally different.
Well, Braden saw it, and he's like, I don't like Velveeta, because my evil sister, who he used to have to stay with, used to make him eat things as a punishment. Velveeta and mashed potatoes, two things that he could not stomach, and she would make him eat it until he just about vomited. So I made him trust me. I said, have I ever fed you something that you really hated? And he goes, no. I said, then try it. And now he just doesn't think about it. He just wolfs that stuff down. I make pasties all the time with all different kinds of meat.
Oh, filling. Yummy.
And I make dessert pasties, like with fresh apples and cinnamon and sugar. And they're just like little hand pies and all kinds of things. And I just try to mix it up as much as I can. And when he looks like he's starting to get tired of something, I add something to the repertoire. And
seems to be working.
I bought myself a Ninja Foodie.
Oh, aren't those fun?
The pressure cooker one. And I had the oven. I had the toaster oven that you can air fry and all that in. But I wanted something I could pressure cook in. Because now you can just throw chicken in there, pressure cook it in 20 minutes. Debone it, shred it, season it, and make whatever.
Die, Colonel Sanders, die.
Oh, pretty much. Pretty much. I can make biscuits and gravy in the, it's a one pot.
Oh. Yeah, there's I've got a dirty little secret over at the local Kroger's. They've got these little mini pigs in blankets in the freezer section, and it's wrapped in puff pastry instead of just dough. It's wrapped, and so you run that thing through the Ninja Foodie, and it comes out, and it's and yeah, I don't need to be eating them, but what a snack. I love them.
Oh, I make him, I get like the frozen bread rolls and make him like little mini sliders, and I'll just like make a tray of a dozen of them and let him eat until he's done, and then I'll have the last one.
The last one.
He's 14.
Got through the first 11, but that 12th one just stymied him.
He'll come in and put it on a plate and bring it in to me, and he go, you have to eat. And I'm like, Cletus, I'm telling you, your generosity is killing me. And he'll just smirk and walk off.
Oh, this has all just been so sweet, Carol. I'm glad you were able to problem solve and save the conversation for this evening, because you've absolutely just made my night. You have.
Am I softening in my old age?
Oh, you still got the fantastic broadcast voice, and you know, I think the maternalism has done something to you, but it doesn't seem to have otherwise damaged your acid wit or your unwillingness to brook bullshit from idiots.
Well, that's just a gift. The last
part. No one's going to take that away from you.
No. But anyway, thanks for asking me to come tonight. I rearranged my schedule. I basically just turned everything off. And
well, tell Cletus that we said hi. And
I will tell him.
He can get a little bit older and come and play too. So, you know.
He needs to get just a wee bit older to where he doesn't quite know where the shut up switch is yet.
So. Yeah, the filter is slow on the install. You know, the little hourglass just keeps turning over and over and over. Because Ferg's 25 now, and been waiting a long time for the grow up, and it's slowly beginning to happen, and it's the damnedest thing.
I don't know. In 9 years, I just, at the rate I'm going, I hope I'm just dead.
Quit that. You have to, no, no. You,
yeah, I know.
Look, you know, somebody has got to, you know, Henry Kissinger is still alive, Carol. Somebody has, we've got to balance that shit out. The universe is badly out of whack.
Well, you know, the doctors told Braden that he probably would never bother children, and he said, you know what? He said, I should just adopt kids out of foster care. Wouldn't that just be the right thing to do? Because that's what you did for me.
Oh.
And I said, well, honey, get 10 of them, because I hope they all turn out exactly like you, and then we'll be even.
Oh, but he's got a sweet soul. He does.
He does. And I said, and they're all getting drum kits for Christmas.
Yes, they are. Granny Carol's going to get them with the big bass drums.
You're darn tootin'. All right, love. Well, I will let you go on to your thing. Hello to everybody who's listening. I do miss all of you terribly.
Oh, I had a note from Todd in South Carolina, Stan, saying it's just so nice to hear Ms. Baker.
I love Todd. Thank you, Todd. And I miss the family. I haven't forgotten you all. I really haven't.
Well, you can't forget me because I'm over there. I read every word you write. So.
Well, bless your heart. I don't miss what you post either because now you have nicer clothes than I do. So.
Oh, and the Iowa contingent has chimed in. Iowa is not pronounced as Iowija. We're more like Iobana. We certainly are racing to the bottom.
Yeah, thank you, Governor Kim Reynolds. I know. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, but it's state fair season, so somebody's filleting a corn dog for the Republican nomination now, so we got that to look forward to.
God, pictures, please. I still have the one of Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, yeah, and her husband.
It was classic. Well, but with Marcus, that was just muscle.
Yeah, Marcus, it was, you know, what made it art was the look of longing in his eye.
No, I think it was when he put his hand on the back of his head and pushed it over the corner.
Carol, have a lovely evening, dear.
All right, love y'all.
Love you. Bye now. Bye. The one, the only, Carol Baker. Raising hell from a socially distanced, undisclosed location. Don't cross her. Don't cross her. Y'all, it's been a wonderful Moran Monday. I think we covered a lot of ground. And, you know, back for Titanic Tuesday tomorrow, and we'll be up to our eyeballs again. We didn't get around to Frank's challenge or Joey and Giraffe's either, unless my PayPal notifications are failing me again. Let me look before we go, just so we can know for sure. And, yep, nope. So we'll keep working on it tomorrow and keep plugging away. Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much. Housed peace, Jude, in the Great Northwest says, is your dialogue. Yeah, well, any opportunity to share a few words with Carol Baker is always magic. She always has been. Thank you, Jude. Thanks to all of our subscribers via PayPal and Patreon. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you all so much. The way you keep this program going never ceases to amaze and never ceases to inspire deep and humble appreciation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Sorry about the screw-up earlier. Headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask him to please, pretty please, co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AKE Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Thank you, Shorty. Shorty just dropped a note and said, great show this evening. Thank you so very much. That means the world. And always, Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. It's just so damn scary out there. It's terrifying. I don't even want to leave next week. I just want to stay here and hide. I don't know. But, you know, if you haven't gotten your vaccine, get it. But I don't have to tell you that because this is a vastly more intelligent audience than the, community, not audience. We communicate back and forth. It's not just about listening. You know,
the collective intelligence of this community is substantially higher than the average. Well, yeah, you get the idea. So, you know, wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, don't touch your face, carry your hand sanitizer everywhere, pocket, purse, what have you, and use it after every contact. Gloves are going to come back into fashion. They're already back in fashion. I wear them. Keep your social distance, for God's sakes. Well, no, for your sake. Keep your social distance. And, well, you know, if somebody comes toward you saying, you know what, I think I knew that Joe Biden never should have gone into Afghanistan in the first place, avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later.